The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, it's Thursday, June 16th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Atlantic City casino workers on Wednesday authorized their leaders to call a strike against the gambling houses if new contracts are not reached by the beginning of July. Members of the Local 54 of the Unite Here union authorized their negotiating committee to call a July 1 strike against the Borgata and the three casinos owned by Caesars Entertainment, Caesars, Harrah's, and Tropicana, and a July 3rd strike against Hard Rock if new deals are not in place by then. Union President Bob McDevitt said 96% of the several thousand union members who cast ballots did so in favor of authorizing a strike. Contracts expired over 2 weeks ago and talks have yet to reach a deal.
You think they're sort of left with a unique opportunity because of what they do. What if they were to go to the roulette table, have their contract demands, right, and just go for it.
And see what happens.
See what happens.
The yes vote will not result in an immediate strike. It simply gives the union negotiating committee, comprised of workers from all nine casinos, the power to call a strike. McDevitt says agreements have been reached with Bally's and Ocean, so they will not be struck. Resorts and Golden Nugget are in the yellow zone, and the rest are in the red zone, he said. Union members said that they are ready to walk out if the call comes. The union says it is seeking significant wage increases in the next contract to help workers deal with the financial setbacks caused by the coronavirus pandemic and rapidly rising prices. The union went on strike in 2004 for 34 days and walked out against the former Trump Taj Mahal Casino in July of 2016, which ended with the casino shutting down in October of that year. It has since reopened under new ownership as the Hard Rock. Montgomery County officials announced charges Wednesday against a Philadelphia man accused of selling homemade drug-laced edibles to children. 20-year-old Quashawn Rice was arrested on felony drug trafficking charges. Investigators in Montgomery County say Rice had been delivering the THC-laced snacks to children as young as 11 years old. Police say the edibles were sold through an Instagram account called Top Two Treats and delivered directly to middle schools, high schools, and public parks. According to authorities, the investigation into Rice began on May 10th when an officer responded to the East Norriton Middle School cafeteria when the school staff members believed a student had been provided an edible marijuana snack without his knowledge and became sick. The student recalled eating a rainbow-colored Rice Krispie treat given to him by another student. That student then confirmed purchasing the drug-laced edible from the Instagram account. Officials say once Instagram disabled the Top to Treats account, Rice continued the illegal sales activity on a new account, Top Treats 4. At the time of his arrest, officials say they recovered a ghost gun in addition to THC-laced edible materials.
So does anyone know, with all of the, you know, the medicinal marijuana and recreational, and how much of that is edibles? How many?
None of it in Pennsylvania.
Right. So, but in general, what is preferred? Is the edibles aspect of it large?
They're quite popular.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I don't know versus, you know, the flour versus the oils and vapes
what
and stuff like that. Who buys what where they are both available? I would imagine, I'm just guessing, that the smoking of it would probably sell more.
Right.
But these are, the guy selling was only 20 years old, and then he's selling to kids as young as 11
years
old.
It's horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
These are snacks. Like, the one kid didn't even know what he was eating. He thought he was having a Rice Krispie treat.
In the legal realm. In Jersey now, you can purchase, right? Edibles are purchasable in Jersey,
I don't know what the laws are in New Jersey, as far as, because I know you can't get edibles in Pennsylvania, so you can get pill forms, but you can't get the edibles.
It's weird, because, it might have been the case that, only edibles were available in New Jersey at one point. I mean, it's all it's all recreational.
It's very confusing. As someone out of the realm a lot, I have no idea what's legal, what's not, what's preferred, what's not.
Montgomery County District Attorney Kevin Steele says they will be seeking a long state prison sentence so that Rice will be in a place where he won't be able to harm any more children. Rice is currently being held on $95,000 cash bail at the Montgomery County Correctional Facility. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for June 27th at 12:45. Chad Ochocinco is soaking up Philadelphia. He's been spotted all around town, from professional sports games to sampling the local fare. But it was one dining experience that not only went viral, but left a Center City wait staff with an unexpected gift. "I actually didn't know who he was," said Sarah Morrison. "I know the name, but I'm not a sports girl." Sarah Morrison says that she was the waitress who served Ochocinco at Green Eggs Cafe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, according to his social media page, the former NFL player is in town for the next 2 months and stopped by the popular cafe on Sunday. "He was super nice, very chill," the server said. Morrison says she didn't expect what would come next after dropping off his check. Green Eggs Cafe is cash only, and Ochocinco left her a $1,000 tip.
Wow.
The wait staff pools their tips, so everyone working that day benefited from the generosity of Ochocinco. He went on Twitter to say that the manager at the cafe was very helpful in assisting, and that Philadelphia has been a great experience for him.
Green Eggs has catered some stuff for us in the past.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
They're great.
Yeah.
So,
aren't they the ones that do the, is it the red velvet?
They do like all kinds of all the, yeah, those, yeah, like crazy French toast. Their Instagram account is like, I follow them, and when a picture pops up, I'm
just
like,
hungry.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I didn't realize they were cash only.
Yeah, me neither. But I knew that Chad was going there. I've been following him on Twitter ever since he started like trending here in Philadelphia. And so I have no clue why he's here, but he's said that he's here until August and that he loves the city so much. He's thinking about, you know, calling this place home. Well, I don't know if he's
to
just,
be honest,
you know,
I understand he talked to Bradley Cooper, who told him about this show.
That might have been it.
Casey, come listen to it.
I saw John Clark from NBC Sports Philly reported the other day that he's in town training with a fighter, but I don't know what that means. I don't know if he's training to fight or if he's just
here
to work out.
Is he's up training. He's going on these long runs and weight training and stuff like that.
Oh, man, maybe a celebrity boxing match with Blac Chyna.
Well, he's being very generous while he's here. $1,000 tip for a waitress or an entire wait staff at Green Eggs Cafe. Very nice of him. All right, in sports this morning. Garrett Stubbs hit a three-run home run with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning, sending the Phillies to a 3-1 victory over the Miami Marlins yesterday afternoon at the ballpark.
They did it! Deep right field. Did he do it? Did he do it? He did it! It's a three-run walk-off home run for Garrett Stubbs! What an amazing time to launch his first walk-off.
I heard him say, like, I don't know if that was his first, that wasn't his first ever, right?
No, first walk-off.
He was like, I don't do this. I don't hit home runs. Yeah. Like, he couldn't believe it himself.
That's awesome.
Kyle Gibson pitched 8-plus innings for the Phils before Connor Brogdon got 3 outs in the win. The Phils now travel to Washington as they open up a 5-game series against the Nationals. Zach Wheeler will get the start tonight. The first pitch is scheduled for 7:05. In the Stanley Cup Finals, the Avalanche beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, winning 4-3 last night in overtime. Andrei Burakovsky scored a minute 23 into overtime to give Colorado the win in Game 1 and put the Avs up in the series. Game 2 is on Saturday night in Denver. According to multiple reports, the Flyers have offered their head coaching job to John Tortorella. ESPN's Kevin Weeks first broke the news, reporting that the team and Tortorella were in late-stage negotiations, but a deal was not yet done. And finally, the NBA Finals continue tonight in Boston with the Golden State Warriors leading the Celtics 3-2. Tip-off is scheduled for 9 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome to Thursday morning as we're watching the week slide on by us. We have some stuff planned for today. We're going to have some guests on the program. We're going to talk to our friend actor Daniel Roebuck.
Yeah.
Because the Munsters film, they had a teaser. They released it. It's clearly done and ready to go, and it's coming out sometime this year. He's playing Grandpa Munster.
That's great. Great choice.
And we've talked to him leading up to all this, but now we get a chance to chat with him and find out maybe what's going to happen with the film and when we can expect it.
Well, the big question is it going to be like 100% faithful? Are they doing, judging by the teaser trailer they released, which is an exact replication of the opening credits of the show,
right,
that might be the case, which would be great.
All right, and we're going to talk to our very good longtime friend Cecily Tyne this morning, who's going to answer an interesting question about rain percentages, because this was, Casey made this observation. You saw a tweet from A.J. Brown?
Yeah, so he had tweeted, and when I saw what he tweeted, I was like, you idiot.
He might be right.
He might be right. So I don't know.
We'll get into the nitty gritty of it, and those percentages of rain that you've heard before might not mean exactly what you think they mean.
Right. So I think it's possible that I'm wrong on a lifelong perception.
We'll find out. Yeah. So we'll go straight to the source. And that is Cecily Tynan of 6ABC. So we'll get to her a little bit later on this morning. And just hanging out and having a good time.
Yes.
Getting stuff away, enjoying our banter.
Our post sorority event.
We had it Glow. We had it last night.
A little tired, but awesome.
A little tired, but definitely glowing, I would say.
Glowing,
that's a great
yes.
word. So, all right, we'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll do business as usual, a stupid question in the entertainment report up when we return. So stay there.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Well, check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on MMR's mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, we're going to give away a $150 Fogo to Show gift card for the stupid question. This morning, I ask you this. What kind of wine is made in the Spanish town of Jerez, or it might be pronounced Jerez, I'm not sure, but it's spelled J-E-R-E-Z, but there's a specific kind of wine that is made in that town, in Jerez. So 215-263-WMMR, we shall see, test your knowledge of libations, so give us a call right now. I'll mention some birthdays today. Thursday, June 16th. Lori Metcalf of Roseanne, her sister Jackie, and an award-winning actress, by the
super
way.
Super talented.
Yeah.
Also from Big Bang Theory.
67 years
old
today.
You said award-winning. What was her?
Emmy. She won an Emmy for Roseanne.
Oh, for Roseanne. Okay.
You know what I think of? I remember seeing her in a tragic role one time, and I can't remember what it was.
You ever see Lady Bird?
Yes.
She's the mom.
Yeah. She's the mom in that. Yeah.
She was great in that.
She was nominated for an Oscar for that.
No kidding.
Yeah, I didn't know that until just now. But yeah, I love that movie. It's, okay. I didn't catch it until later, you know, a few years after it came out. But man, is it good.
I only gave it the one viewing. I should probably watch that again sometime.
Yeah. You know what's cool in Big Bang Theory is that she plays Sheldon's mom in the present, and her own daughter plays younger her in Young Sheldon.
Oh, that's really cool. So she is 67. Nick, is this her IMDb?
Yeah.
She's also the voice of Andy's mom in Toy Story.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Toy Story 4, at least. Oh. I don't know if she's in all of them or not, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Toy Story 3 as well.
Oh, no kidding.
How about that?
I love that.
All right. Happy birthday,
you learn things, you know.
Joan Van Ark, who is on two evening big soaps shows. She was on Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember her on Dallas, though.
And also Knott's Landing. My memory has faded from a lot of those shows, especially Dallas.
More prominent on Knott's Landing.
Yeah.
She was one of the main characters, and then she was on a sitcom. She has overdone it.
She looks like a sleestack now.
She looks like a sleestack.
Yeah.
She's really gone crazy with that stuff. She was a naturally pretty woman.
Very much
and,
so.
And has effed it up.
Yep. She is 79 years old.
They say that
today.
As a compliment.
Yeah, that's we mean
like
that
it, yes.
with
yeah.
love.
Yeah.
We mean that with absolute love. We also have another birthday that has a little bit of a story behind it here. It is Gino Vanelli's birthday today. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Greatest mornings of my life was watching Jackie Bam Bam serenade Casey with Gino Vanelli while he's trying to work.
I completely lost my baloney that day.
And it really didn't affect him, did it?
It didn't. No,
wonderfully benign. He's so such a great guy.
He felt bad, and then like it made me feel really bad because I mean I really did lose my.
Well, here's to explain before we go on the air. We're all working, okay?
Yeah.
So we're all prepping, and Casey has a lot of work to do before the show. There are a lot of things that I could sit here and describe to you that he does. It would bore the living daylights out of you, but it's very involved things that have to be put in a certain order. And so he's trying to get his work done. He's focusing on his job. And Jackie would sometimes kind of orbit around Casey Bree show, and just because he loves him,
wants to chat with him,
and wants to talk to him, and Casey's trying to get work done, and so it was Gino Vannelli's birthday, and Jackie was stuck on singing the hook to this song.
I had never heard this song before.
I brought it up on the air, and Preston had heard it, so we were sharing. This was a big hit when it came out.
And so at some point...
tells me it's his birthday. So, it was today. It was June. It had to have been June 16th.
And he's standing right next to Casey as Casey's clearly sending out, "I'm hunched over working on my computer."
There are many times I just ask him, like, "Hey, listen, man, I'm so sorry, but like I'm focused here. I need to get my work done.
What else can I tell you?"
Yeah. And he continued to sing the song.
And then when you reprimanded him, he's standing there, but he's so he goes, "Oh, sorry. And then he's like, softer.
He started singing softer.
He just sang it softer. Like, that's what I was asking him to do. And so.
No, I want to hear it. Just sing it softer.
So I stood up. I just grabbed my laptop and I stormed out the door behind you, Steve, and I kicked it open with my right foot and I yelled as I walked out the door at the top of my lungs the F word. Just that. Not F you, not F me. Just. Yeah, and then I felt,
because he's so great.
He's so great, and he's so innocent.
Childlike.
He has love the natural a child's love of Gino Vannelli.
Yes. So happy birthday, Gino Vannelli.
For the remaining
future of this show, we will always celebrate Gino Vannelli just because of that moment. So happy birthday to Gino, who is 70 today, by the way. Phil Mickelson, the golfer, who's gone on with the LIV tour now.
He's
52.
Did they give an estimate as to how much?
He gave him over $100 million.
It's effing crazy.
Yeah, that's what I understand. So.
PGA's stepping in and...
Oh, there's
suspending people.
There's a whole big hubbub about that.
Tiger was reportedly up close to $1 billion.
Yeah, like 900 million. Yeah, something.
It's like a billion.
It is
a billion.
Closer.
Did you see the dude get clocked with the the drive at the tournament this weekend?
Was that this weekend?
Yeah, I think it was from this thing. Yeah, some dude off of the tee box smashes the ball. And then the dude just goes down like a ton of bricks.
Oh, really? Hit him in the head?
I think it hit him in the head.
Wow. Yeah. That hurts. He is 52 today. John Cho, the actor. Star Trek, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, American Pie movies.
They're working on another Star Trek movie.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. And he celebrates his 50th birthday today, so a big one for him. Eddie Cibrian.
Oh, the legend.
On Sunset Beach and CSI Miami, but he is the husband of Leanne Rimes.
Right.
As well.
There was a sort of a cheating sort of thing going on with that. Remember the original wife was not too happy, as you would probably not be.
So he's 49. And then the last birthday is actor Daniel Brühl, who we know from Winter Soldier. Zemo, is that his name, I think?
Zemo.
Yes. Zemo.
And he's also in Falcon.
And Winter Soldier. As well. Yeah. He's also in movies like Rush and The Bourne Ultimatum. He's a really good actor.
Really good in Rush.
Yep, he's 44.
He plays Geddy Lee.
No, not that Rush.
He's in The Bastards. I mean, Glorious Bastards.
Yeah. You're right. That's where we first got to know him. He's the sniper that the movie was being made about.
He's the actor,
Yeah.
And then the hero and the Nazi propaganda.
He was also in the sequel, Rat Prick.
He is so good in that movie.
Yes, he is.
In Glorious Bastards. All right, so let's see if we can get an answer to Super Question this morning. What kind of wine is made in the Spanish town of Jerez? 215-263-WMMR. It is Joseph we go to. Hey, Joseph, good morning.
What's up?
Yeah, buddy.
It's going to be sherry wine.
Sherry, that is correct. Hang on, Joseph. $150 Fogo to Show gift card is yours. And Fogo is culinary experience and the best place to discover new favorites like their new bone-in ribeye and bone-in double-cut pork chop as part of the full Trasco experience. And you can make a reservation for Center City or King of Prussia at Fogo.com. I don't know if I've ever had sherry. I've used it in cooking many times.
I know that it holds on, according to Steve Perry.
But I've never really just drank it as a, like an after-dinner drink or anything.
Are you supposed
like
to
that.
Use that on snapper soup? What's the stuff you use on snapper soup?
You pour that on your snap?
I'm not familiar.
Okay.
I've never had snapper soup, so I don't know, Case.
Yeah.
Is that a pairing, a standard pairing?
You don't drink it with it.
You pour it on top?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That sounds kind of interesting. Nick is looking up snapper soup. It is
a noteworthy soup, according to this.
What kind of description is that?
Pull up the list of noteworthy soups, please.
Noteworthy is like, it's like conveniently located. Noteworthy.
Bill has a list of them on his door at work to watch out for the noteworthy soups. He's just mostly feared of those. Those are the ones that
noteworthy my ass.
According to food historian Janet Clarkson, the dish in which she described is one of several noteworthy soups. Became a symbol for civic dinners.
I'd like to tell you about some noteworthy soups that are really mixing things up on the culinary scene.
By the way, let's
start with snapper.
Is it turtles? Is that turtle soup?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it is. Uh-huh. I was thinking snapper is the fish.
Not the fish. No.
Why would you call it?
Anything about sherry, though, Casey? I'm sorry. I don't know if you're wrong. I just don't see anything about it.
Oh, sherry.
Could add some snapper.
Could add some snapper.
It's a notable soup.
All right. Hold on. Just a touch of sherry at the end of a cream soup can enrich the flavor without adding too much in the way of calories. The sherry used when I cook the wine, this is somebody who's writing this, into the recipe is usually a lesser quality that I keep around the kitchen. So I guess it just adds a little dash of flavor for your noteworthy soup.
So like on a baked Alaska or something, when they ignite an alcohol, is it sherry a lot?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. Is it gasoline?
No. Sometimes there are rums that are over 100.
That's probably it.
150 proof or something like that. That can
you get that big light flare up.
Yeah. Or grain alcohol. Hang on. Marissa just confirmed. This is breaking news.
This was just handed to me.
Breaking news. We go to the culinary department of the Preston Steve Show, where reporter Preston Elliott is standing by with a breaking news story.
Steve, I've just been handed this report, and we are finding that sherry goes on snapper. That's according to Bookbinders. So there you go. Thank you very much.
Throwing it back to you.
Now back to you in the studio.
Thank you.
All right.
More than
that. Human God! Knowing how I made you feel.
Oh my God. I just want to say we've spent 10 minutes on soup and sherry.
He does have a great voice, doesn't he?
Oh, he's amazing. Yeah. I actually did a little deep dive into... We're doing entertainment news, right? Yeah. I did a deep dive on YouTube. I fell into a hole of people that are analyzing Steve Perry's vocals,
right?
And some of the ranges that he hits in a few songs, and it's just these are singers breaking them down like exactly what frequencies he's going to with his voice, and it's insane what that guy can do.
Yeah.
All right, we're moving on. So the WWE's 12-member board is investigating a $3 million hush pact. Payment that Vince McMahon...
All right, we're a little loopy, guys.
Payment that Vince McMahon paid a former employee after the pair allegedly had an affair.
You're fired!
According to a report from the Wall Street Journal, McMahon paid the woman who was hired as a paralegal in 2019 $1 million up front, with the remaining $2 million to be spread out over a five-year period.
It's a nice chunk of hush.
Yeah, it is. WWE told the outlet that they're fully cooperating with the board's investigation and added the relationship with the woman was consensual. So for a preliminary investigation, so far the preliminary investigation found the payments were made using personal funds.
All right, Vince, so it wasn't used the company's funds. All right.
Right, so it seems to be above board, but,
the way it's described here and in the article, it's more just a controversial thing, but it's not... Yeah. He's not being...
Doesn't sound illegal.
Yeah.
Vince and Linda McMahon have been married since 1966. So, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of, that's their business, I guess.
It sort of is, but it's the business also, It's, and listen, when you're at that level, or you're a figurehead, there's always people gunning for you and want to kind of move you out of the way. So, we'll see how this goes.
Amber Heard told Savannah Guthrie that she's looking forward to being a full-time mom now that the defamation trial is in the past. During an interview that aired yesterday, she said, "I get to be a mom, like full-time, where I'm not having to juggle calls with lawyers anymore."
Yeah.
And when asked what she'd tell her daughter about the trial experience, she said, I think no matter what, it will mean something. I did the right thing. I did everything that I could to stand up for myself and the truth. And her daughter, Unag, Paige, I guess, O-O-N-A-G-H. I was not familiar with that name. Uba Paige celebrated her first birthday in April. We actually have a clip of her talking about how she still has some love for Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. So let's check that out.
Absolutely. I love him. I loved him with all my heart. And I tried the best I could to make a deeply broken relationship work. And I couldn't. I have no bad feelings or ill will towards him at all. I know that might be hard to understand, or it might be really easy to understand. If you've just never loved anyone, it should be easy.
Do you know she does? She credits him with teaching her how to properly eat out of a public bowl of nuts. That he gave her some tough love.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And taught her the hygienic way when you're... When you're eating, you know, he had to come at her hard, but it really set her on the right path.
For 15 straight minutes, I've been watching you, putting your big fat fingers
well, that's
in
nice.
Your disgusting mouth, which is filled with God knows what kind of bacteria. And then you take the same big fat filthy fingers and you stuff them back into the bowl that is there for public consumption. What the you thinking, John?
Well, I wasn't thinking, Jimmy.
That was some
sorry.
She called. He calls him John. Yeah, that was a pet name.
Right.
So,
they both went by John.
All right. So I have a little info on Bam Margera. He is on his way back to the Florida rehab facility that he left from earlier this week. He was found in a nearby hotel after he was reported missing. Sources close to the star tell TMZ that Bam shacked up at a hotel in Delray Beach. After bouncing from the rehab facility and cops and crisis intervention team located him yesterday and are escorting him back to the treatment center. He went back voluntarily, didn't fight it. The rehab manager says that Bam is supposed to be there under a court order, which is why police were taking him back.
Do we know what his status was when he was found in the hotel room?
So he recently completed 1 year in the drug and alcohol treatment program, and it is not believed that he has relapsed.
Okay, great.
But there's some uncertainty there because he's been off his medication since leaving the facility.
They said that he left because he wasn't getting celebrity treatment
that
like
is
he
it.
Got at other facilities.
Well, they're
at this
giving
one,
him proper treatment.
Proper treatment
yeah, yeah.
He's just kind of one of everyone who's there.
Right.
Apparently he got frustrated over it.
Yep, that he's not getting special treatment. So.
Well, that's good because it's what Dr. Mike refers to as boutique care, where you have, oh, it's okay.
Your addiction doesn't give you special treatment either.
Right, yeah.
Dude, John Mulaney tells of his heading to rehab, and I went to see his stand-up, and it was so funny because he was preparing himself for being the celebrity in the rehab center and, you know, all the questions that were going to come, and he was so dismayed to find out that not one person there had any idea who he was at all.
Right.
Like, none of the other patients were there. He was a little hurt by that.
Sure. You want to be the famous.
At first, he was dreading it because he's a celebrity and he's going to have to deal with this. But then, when the reality came true that he wasn't going to have to deal with it, he was hurt by it. But I guess Bam, wants a little treatment. But listen, they're going to have to give him, you know, the right amount of tough love and get him to bring things around. But he's a year in. Supposedly he's doing well.
Yeah.
We'll see how this goes. Zendaya has denied that she is pregnant after trending on Twitter over a TikTok prank. A fan created TikTok clips featuring a fake ultrasound edited to look like it was posted by the actress. The clip then cuts to a video of Kris Jenner dancing to Lady Marmalade.
What?
I don't know. Of course, social media reacted swiftly, and people were freaking out over this whole thing. But Zendaya responded saying, see, now this is why I stay off of Twitter, just making stuff up for no reason weekly. So she doesn't.
I saw a similar video, but it had Caitlyn Jenner doing the limbo.
Oh, okay.
How low can I go?
I haven't seen that yet. Charlie Sheen may not want his daughter to be on OnlyFans, but Sammy Sheen confirmed yesterday that her mother, Denise Richards, is extremely supportive. The 18-year-old hosted a Q&A on Instagram stories where she also revealed that she will be focusing on body positivity on the adult content subscription platform. I'm sure she has a great body.
She does.
I've only seen her like from the waist up. And yeah, she's thin. Very, very thin.
So. She looks like Denise Richards.
Yeah, she's very, very pretty. So she wrote, only thing that matters is making sure you're comfortable with what you're posting, and remember that all bodies are beautiful.
Your daddy's little girl.
Earlier this week,
of a warlock.
Charlie had said he does not condone his daughter's
decision.
I don't like it. No. But since I'm unable to prevent it,
I've stayed on the straight and narrow.
I urged her to keep it classy, creative, and not sacrifice her integrity.
You get involved with stuff like that, people think less of you.
Yeah. Just get on a Mercury surfboard for
Mercury surfboard and banging hookers right and left.
Don't you have AIDS?
Oh, yeah.
there's that.
Yeah, that's what you go to first.
Right.
Like that means something.
So he's...
I've been riding it on a Mercury surfboard.
Surfboard made of AIDS.
Made of AIDS? Wait, what?
Yeah, a frickin' AIDS surfboard that I ride. You would have to be his daughter and look at him and go, really?
I know, yeah.
Really?
Moral judgments at me?
Really?
Please. Yes, exactly. So, Tom Hiddleston got engaged.
Yeah. Oh.
41-year-old.
What's he been doing lately, man?
Actor confirmed his engagement to his girlfriend, actress Zowie Ashton. I'm very happy. Zowie.
I think she was in Loki, was she not?
You know what? I do not know that. Nick can do a little research on that. But, Case, has he been kind of MIA?
Yeah, he was in, there was a, he was in the night.
That's a while ago.
Manager
or something like that.
Loki. I mean, and they're doing.
And then that.
They're doing another season two of Loki, and then there are a couple other things.
I mean, good. Let's. You don't get overload on the guy. You know what I mean?
I completely agree.
Yeah.
You say there's a second season?
Use the call button.
Yes. Second season of Loki is coming.
You just tell yourself
I told myself to use the cough button. You know what? I have to say, I wanted Loki to be better this series. Everyone was delivering great performances. I just found it a little...
confusing?
Tepid.
Okay.
Yeah.
I found it confusing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like they went into multiverse stuff, but it's also where the Marvel Universe is headed.
Yep.
So, like, if you're not into that... that we're going down that path, you know, and Kang is going to be the next big superhero and blah, blah, blah.
Kang?
Yeah. Kang's the guy at the end. Kang's the guy, he who shall not be named or whatever, when they go to that mansion in space. We can talk off air about it.
Wait, in Loki?
Yes.
Okay.
And then
I don't remember.
All right, well, do you remember the end of Loki?
I mean, I'll have to go back and check it out. Listen, there's so much.
I know.
There's so many things. And after, you know, I've watched so many things, and after 6, 8, 10 months, whatever, I've forgotten what's happened. What was I watching? I was watching The Boys recently, that first episode.
Yeah, you were.
And I'm like, I forgot what happened in that last season. I need to go back and watch it.
So we're recording another episode of The Comic Book Gurus, and you asked a question that I employed in that podcast that we did. What do I need to know? Because I think you're to progress.
Yeah.
Like Ms. Marvel, is that a necessity?
Right.
You know, and so I think at this point we're asking that because there is a glut of stuff to consume, and you may just say this, you know, maybe this is not for me.
That's why I really do like in the beginning of the new seasons when they do a nice little recap.
Yep.
Doesn't need to be long, you know, 5 minutes max. But like, give me a little recap of things that like I forgot about that are important. And I'm good.
I need just a little bit more than that. Like, I watched that recap thing, and I'm like, okay, that kind of brings me up. There's a whole lot of things that I kind of missed out on.
What they should do, since they're online, is do like a, you know, whip up, like a Marvel was doing, Preston. They had sort of a guide to the character and what they'd been through. And
they
were really well done.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so anyhow, Tom Hiddleston is engaged. He and Ashton's engagement...
freaking horns.
...was announced in, let's see, this is people reported that they their engagement in March after she was spotted wearing a diamond ring on her left hand at the British Academy Film Awards, the BAFTAs, and Ashton was previously seen with the ring at the British Fashion Awards in November. Hiddleston and Ashton met on the set of the play Betrayal in 2019.
That was it.
And made their red carpet debut at the Tony Awards in 2020.
Used to date Taylor Swift.
So they are officially engaged. Let's see, a couple more quick things here. Let's see. Oh, Kenan Thompson has officially filed for divorce. A door opens and one closes.
I know.
So he filed for divorce.
It's the way of the world, man.
From his wife of 11 years, Christina Evangeline.
I was sorry to hear this because I'd seen them together in an interview and seemed nice and good.
According to TMZ, the sealed filing includes a request for a 50-50 custody split for daughters Georgia Marie, who is 7, and Gianna Michelle, who is 3. The outlet first broke the news that the couple had separated in April.
Just because you're single, don't go crazy.
Maisie Williams, the actress, recently revealed that she thought that her Game of Thrones character, Arya Stark, was queer. The actress told Teen Vogue, "The first time that I was surprised by Arya, I guess, was probably in the final season where she whips off her clothes and sleeps with Gendry." See, I don't remember that either. And I
you
watched
don't
that.
That.
No, oh, I watched yeah. it.
You were a massive
I watched
fan
the whole
show.
Thing 3 times.
Show her boobies.
She said, "I thought that Arya was queer, you know, and I did too, to be honest."
Game of boobies.
definitely. She says, "Yeah, that was a surprise." In her scene, the character sleeps with an old friend right before they fight the Battle of Winterfell.
Does she not, is she not critical in offing one of the main villains?
She's very critical.
All right, cool.
Extremely critical, yeah. Lionsgate announced Wednesday that their Dirty Dancing sequel starring Jennifer Grey will hit theaters on February 9th, 2024.
You excited, Kathy?
I am excited. However, and maybe we talked about this and I just missed it, but the resort that's like...
In the Catskills?
Well, somebody said that it wasn't in the Catskills.
No, it's in North Carolina.
Yeah, my friends are going there. They're vacationing there. They're doing a girls group, and that's where they're going to vacation. Oh,
that's cool.
So you're not going? Supposed to be upstate New York in the Catskills.
Yeah, but they actually shot it in North Carolina.
So they're going to where they shot it in North Carolina.
That's awesome. Like, what about Bob? Was you know, like supposed to be in Pisaki, but it's in freaking Virginia.
Freaking Virginia.
Didn't they, and didn't, was it Toronto double for Philadelphia in, Shazam.
I guess some of it, but no, they actually shot a little bit here.
A lot of it we shot
from
in Canada.
So let me see what else we have here for you. By the way, the baby returns to Kellerman's for what Deadline calls a story of summer, young romance, and dancing. So that is going to happen. Speaking of dancing, West Side Stories, Rachel Ziegler and Josh Andres Rivera are going to reunite on screen for the Hunger Games prequel. We already knew she was going to be in
hungry.
It. Lionsgate confirmed Wednesday that the real-life couple will appear in the Hunger Games, A Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
So is this before they break up into the separate districts? Do we know this prequel story?
It's how they get to that.
Okay.
It's why the districts happen. And
they're just peckish at this point.
Yes, they're not even really hungry.
No. Rivera is set to play a mentor from District 2 in the 10th annual Hunger Games.
Huh.
So it's earlier on. The games are going on. It's not pre-Hunger Games and how it came to it. But it will be earlier on those games.
When they were doing the Hunger Games in the movies, it been going on for decades?
Yes.
Or,
in fact, it was, I believe, so in that final movie, they were doing what was called the Quarter Quell. And I think that it might have been the 75th.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's crazy.
Hunger Games, yeah.
How long do you stay hungry?
Yeah, right? 75 years.
Eat something already.
Yep. So Ziegler will play a tribute from District 12.
You know, open up a food cart.
And I believe District 12 was Katniss's district, if I recall correctly.
What did you think of that series?
As you have learned this morning, I don't remember anything.
Yeah, I think it was.
What did you think of the series?
I loved the books. I read all the books. I read most of them in the bathroom here
at
One Ballot Plaza. I would go, when any time I would go to take a dump, I would take the book in with me and read it.
Yeah.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. And I loved the book series. I didn't think the movies quite captured it as well. They were good.
Of the three, the first one the best?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
District 12 is the home of Katniss. I didn't read the books, and I loved the movies.
Okay.
I thought they were amazing.
Okay.
But, that happens a lot if you read the book first.
There's more detail.
Yeah.
It's the way the book is, it's from a narrative point of view. It's like it's narrated by Katniss, the whole thing. So you hear a lot of what's going on in her head, and you kind of miss out on that in the movie.
Unlike sometimes, like in the Batman, they included a voiceover of him explaining some inner thoughts, and I thought that was very cool. You need it sometimes.
What?
Well, they've come up with a new character for me, they being our audience. Preston is the Forgetterer. Oh, and I got it wrong. Apparently, Virginia is where Freaking Virginia.
Freaking Virginia.
Is where Dirty Dancing was filmed, not North Carolina.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't it be crazy if Dirty Dancing and What About Bob were filmed on the same lake?
Yeah, that would be wild.
If you're high.
Would it be Dirty Bob or Forget About Dancing?
I would say Forget About Dancing.
Never forget about dancing.
Okay, so I think we can move on to the clips now.
I was on that lake riding my surfboard made of AIDS.
All right. Here we go. Emma Roberts is not one to shy away from a horror scene. And in this clip, she describes how her role in Abandon is like unlike any other that she has portrayed. Here we go.
It was playing like a very real, grounded person, but in this kind of, you know, thriller, psychological horror kind of world. This was fun for me because I'd never played a role like I did in Abandoned with Sarah, you know, being a new mom and struggling with her marriage and with her new kind of life. And so it was fun to take on something that I'd really never done before.
Yeah! Abandoned. Abandoned is in theaters tomorrow. All right, next clip for you. Chris Evans is going to Infinity and Beyond to make his version of Buzz in Lightyear. And here, Chris talks about transforming Tim Allen's iconic role into his own.
Luckily for me, the character is supposed to be the human version of the toy. So you can use what Tim did and just kind of move upstream. And it was tough to feel comfortable not just doing a Tim Allen impression. But over time, again, with the subtlety of the writing, you end up finding these nuanced interpretations of a character that I was familiar with while still adding my own interpretation.
I saw some people complaining online that it wasn't Tim Allen in this movie.
It's Patricia Heaton.
Yeah,
in particular.
It's two different characters.
It's a different character.
Yeah.
And she's going to stick up for you.
They're
buds.
But I mean, they're two different characters.
Yeah, so that was the delineation they made right from the get-go.
Right.
He was playing a real version of a... You know, they explained it. That's okay. I think that makes sense. That works.
Lightyear is in theaters tomorrow. So, by the way. All right, there you go. That is what I have in the Entertainment
Freaking
Report.
Freaking animated.
Yes. So, we're going to have on the program this morning Daniel Roebuck, our actor buddy who is starring in The Munsters, his Grandpa Munster. And it's coming out this year. They released the trailer, so we figured we'd do a little check-in with him.
Yeah.
And see what we can expect. And also, we're going to talk to Cecily Tynan. Kind of a check-in about, number one, we'll get our weather forecast.
Yeah.
It's good like that. But, there was a tweet that was kind of intriguing. Casey found this, and we'll mention that a little bit later on when we get Cecily on. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. So hang with us this morning. We'll be right back.
HD. It ain't just for your TV anymore. Use your HD radio to hear the best-sounding MMR there is. Plus, enjoy MMR HD 2, the MM Archives channel. Everything that rocks never sounded so good.
Hey, by the way, I saw this little bit of info this morning written down on a little sheet of paper. And apparently, the 17th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve blood drive is full.
Wow!
Our donation times are full, apparently. Woof. From what I have been told.
Both locations?
It says here, thanks to everyone that made an appointment, all donation times are full, except for a few special donation types at the Oaks location in the afternoon. So those are like the double red or plasma. So
you amazing.
You can look into that. one of the things that we haven't mentioned or had a chance to mention yet is not only will we, the Preston and Steve Show, be broadcasting live at the Oaks location, Pierre Robert will be coming up after us and doing his show live there as well.
This is as big a execution of the blood drive as we've ever done.
So because at Live Casino, then you have Brent, Jackie, and Sarah, and they will be checking in. Steve and I are going to do a little flyby as well and say hello, and they'll be doing check-ins on the air. So this is kind of, it seems like it's slowly turning into what we've done with the Camp Out for Hunger, as it used to be just us alone. And then every year we kind of added a little bit more of an element to it. But listen, it's the largest blood drive in the country. So, you know, we're throwing the full support behind it.
Here's what I want for you, because you were there in spirit when we broke the record and did that, you got that accolade, and then we went right into COVID.
Yeah.
So that obviously impacted. If again, we don't ever set
what we'd like to hit or goals or so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice if we could do make this one the biggest of them all.
In the country. Break our own record. It'd be awesome. Yeah. So thank you, everybody, for signing up. Just make sure you show up and also do yourself a favor and check the qualifications, the guidelines that we have at PrestonandSteve.com. And that way, if for some reason you don't qualify because of travel or medication or a medical condition or something like that, I can open up a spot for somebody else and save you some time as well for driving out and then having to just be sent away. And also, keep in mind that you can pre-register and save yourself some time as well if you go to PrestonandSteve.com. And that way you'll fill out the information and have that ready to go and just avoid that step while you're there. So you can get that done, too. So make sure that you you go for it. But thank you. We're excited about this.
Yes.
Coming up on the 24th.
It's a week away.
I know. We've already sold out.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I love it. All right. So I think it's time to open up shop.
Because we got to head down to the general store.
We got some product to move. So.
Says Preston Elliott, the proprietor, now known as the Forgetterer.
That's
Hey, mister.
The Forgetterer. We're going to start in the entertainment section. So a concert has been canceled. It was a sold-out show. And the venue is the Market Hotel in Brooklyn. And it's kind of interesting that it's canceled because the performer, Ronald Reagan assassin John Hinckley, Ronald Reagan assassin John Hinckley Jr.
This sucks because I bought the VIP package.
Oh, my God, the meet and greet,
the whole thing.
So he was released from all court oversight earlier in the day, more than four decades after the 1981 assassination attempt.
You've got to be effing kidding.
Right, he crawls out of his
this
grave.
This son of a bitch takes a few shots at me and he's in concert? Is he, Milli Vanilli?
The now 67-year-old...
Not going to blame it on the rain, I'm going to blame it on this jerk-off.
The now 67-year-old Hinckley has turned to writing and playing his own music since being released from a mental health facility several years ago. I remember, Steve, after he had, had the attempted to kill the president.
Yes.
And they started doing a dive into, you know, his clear mental illness and deranged state of mind at that time. There was an audio recording of a song that he had written about Jodie Foster. And they played that on the news and it like chilled me to the core. I'm like, this is a crazy person singing this song, obsessed with her. And I was like, wow, man, it was terrifying to me.
I know you and I are kind of into a lot of this stuff, just fascinated, like, you know, like Mindhunter and things like that.
Sure.
A lot of these guys end up putting music, you know, creating music. Yeah. Manson was big into that. Yeah. So, the story, we have the author of the book, and I read it, and I can't believe I'm forgetting the title of the book, about the whole, that day, he was actually en route to kill Jodie Foster, and this was because, you know, he's one of those things where I love her so much, I have to kill her.
Right, yeah.
I kill the thing I love.
Yeah, you possess them wholly.
That plan changed because en route, he stopped by and figured, well, let's take a crack at this.
So he had any idea how he knew that the president was going to be exposed and going somewhere?
I forget.
Okay.
It was in the news that he was speaking. He was, it was leaving a speaking engagement, and that's what happened.
I've been to that hotel more than once, and Steve, you know, just talking about sort of being fascinated by those places. I walked where the assassination attempt happened, where James Brady got shot.
Right.
And it's eerie, you know, being there. And right. But I was curious because your dad lives near Texas, near Dallas. Have you ever been to the book depository?
Yeah, Dealey Plaza. Absolutely.
Okay. I want to see that at some point, too.
And it's you know, sometimes you'll go to a place, and like when you go to the Alamo and it's next to a strip mall or whatever.
Yeah.
But Dealey Plaza looks like Dealey Plaza, save for a couple of things. And it is fascinating and weird and sort of the same vibe there. My brother was working the detail. It was common for him to be on the detail protecting the president, Secret Service. And that day or a couple days, he had been sick, so was not at work. He would have been there.
So I'm going to play a little clip of him singing here in just a second. But the now 67-year-old Hinckley has turned to writing and playing his own music, like I said. The venue said in a social media post they'd canceled the show after a lot of serious consideration. They said, and after being presented with and reflecting on some very real and worsening threats and hate facing our vulnerable communities, He said there was a time when a place could host a thing like this, maybe a little offensive, and the reaction would be, it's just a guy playing a show. Who does it hurt? It's a free country, but we aren't living in that kind of free country anymore, for better or worse, they said. It also stated that Hinckley's tour, quote, sends a message that mental health issues and criminal past can be recovered from and atoned for after serving one's debt to society and getting real treatment. So you want to hear a little bit of
music? Oh, yes. Prepare to have your perception of music restructured.
You should have been gone!
All right.
He's good.
Wow,
what a voice on here.
He's good.
Hang on.
You want to go back?
Yeah. Let's hear that.
You should have been gone!
Okay.
No.
Let's rethink this show. That guy can sing.
I should have been gone.
He's damn good.
Yeah. He named that one O'Jody.
O'Jody.
It's almost as if he's gone on a journey.
Yeah. All right, here we go. All this right. is actually him. Back it up a little bit, Case. Here we go.
Little walk up to the preacher. Let us say I do.
This is Don't Be Cruel, by the way.
Then you'll know you'll have me. I know that I'll have you. Don't be cruel to a heart that's true. No other love, baby, it's just you I'm thinking of.
Oh, wow.
That's so right.
Amazing. It's so good.
Wow. Okay.
The guy sucks. Jesus Christ. Let me shoot him.
Oh, my. He sucks, right?
He sucks.
Yeah.
The big hairy one.
Okay. All right.
Steve, wasn't there a notion a few years ago that if you made an attempt on the president's life that you would be in jail for life? Am I misremembering that?
Yeah. You know, in this case, so obviously there was a perception I had as well. There was an automatic.
Yeah.
But what happened to, like, Squeaky Fromm and
Susan Atkins?
Susan
Atkins from
the Manson
family.
Yeah.
Don't know. I think they're all still in jail.
Yeah.
You know, but
they're a singing group now.
Oh, really?
Ladies and gentlemen, you're here on a special night. Everyone who's attempted to kill me has formed a band.
What a special night.
Right. They can form a full band.
Huh.
All right, well, anyhow, they've canceled that show. All right, let's move on to something else. It's not a different department. Let's go to the sex ed section. We have a sexual education portion of the general store.
It's a huge store.
So a recently released survey suggests that the over 50 crowd may feel more sexy and secure. According to the study, 41% of respondents over 50 said they feel more confident and comfortable in their own skin. They say that the people at 53 feels sexy now.
Super sexy, huh?
Yeah. 53% of people over 50 also said that they are sure of what they want in a relationship. The study was carried out by Our Time, which is an over 50s dating service.
It's Our Time.
So they're going after
I never thought I'd find love again.
Yeah. So 50 people in their 50s feel sexy? I don't know, compared to what?
I think sexier
than
right.
people in their 30s? I don't know.
I think in general, as you get older, this has also been this sort of dovetails with other surveys and studies that you've reported on, your ability to just be happier as you get older because yes. you've reached some milestones that you wanted to hit.
Yeah.
You usually, you know... And also have a better frame of reference.
And also maybe not really caring as much what other people think about you.
It does happen.
It does
happen. You know, because it's like, F it.
Yeah.
Like, I wore shorts to a square dance last night.
I know. We had several people comment on that, by the way. You guys are wearing shorts. I'm like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's hot out.
We are. And that room, I'm glad I did. We'll do the recap.
Like a greenhouse.
It was like a greenhouse.
Yeah. That time of day, this time of year, there's a lot of sun that comes into there. So, but if you're in your 50s, congratulations.
Yeah.
You feel sexy.
You're super hot.
Congratulations all right, so, for you.
All right, let's move out of the store.
I'm chubbing big time.
The rubbers are over there if you know them. All right, this is pretty wild. Yesterday, Science and Technology Daily, a state-backed media outlet in China, published what could have been an exciting piece of news. Researchers recorded radio signals that looked like evidence of extraterrestrial technology. Rogue blips from an advanced alien civilization made their way to Earth is the question. Well, maybe not, because the twist here is that we may have found, isn't that we may have found aliens. It's that Science and Technology Daily quickly pulled that story from its website. So they put it out and then they took it away.
Well, so I heard that from a number of different monitoring sources had picked up this audio signal. So there's, are they re-examining it or are they?
We don't know. Like they just yanked it. So I
heard it sounded a lot like Steve Perry.
Oh I yeah. had no idea.
Should have been gone.
You hear it?
Yeah, I hear it. There's a similarity.
Yeah, there. Reaching out across the universe.
Steve, I've only seen the one. There were two that kind of reported this. So the reported observations came from the 500-meter aperture spherical telescope, nicknamed Sky Eye. This thing is huge. I think it's the biggest largest radio telescope in the world. It's like 1,600 feet. It's massive. So a few days ago, Professor Zhang Tongji, chief scientist of the, listen to this title, chief scientist of the China Extraterrestrial Civilization Research Group of the Department of Astronomy and Extraterrestrial Civilization Research Group of Beijing Northern Normal University.
I just got bored from the name.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
how do you fit that on a business card?
Revealed that his team used the Chinese Sky Eye to discover several cases of possible technological traces and extraterrestrial civilizations from outside Earth. They said that these are several narrowband electromagnetic signals different from the past.
What would aliens look like?
And I had three testicles.
And wow. The team is currently working on further investigation. So in 2020, they discovered two groups of suspicious signals of extraterrestrial.
Oh, man. It's a good bet the Empire knows we're here.
Yeah.
Of extraterrestrial civilizations during the
data let us escape.
Processing of the China Sky Eye 2019 Synchronic Sky Survey observations. In 2022, the team found another suspicious signal from exoplanet target observation data.
This is suspicious.
So they said the possibility that the suspicious signal is some kind of radio interference is also very high. And
we can't go on with suspicious signals.
And needs to be further confirmed and ruled out. This may be a long process, they said.
We get stuff like this. I mean, remember they had actually were able to digitally translate what they believed was sound generated by the Big Bang. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So they're pulling in stuff now with these incredible, and also the Hubble and the new one they just put into space that has it got a little bit of a ding on it. But it's going to make the Hubble look like nothing.
So this wouldn't be the first time the astronomers have picked up radio signals that they couldn't immediately explain. A mysterious outburst from Proxima Centauri was recorded in 2019 by researchers.
Thanks, Boxer. Good morning, Xantina Ferrari. We're going to have a great time today. Thanks for tuning in. Of course, we got the big cash giveaway later on.
I'm
thinking of morning shows.
These are the radio signals. Yeah. That they're picking up from extraterrestrial morning shows.
By the way, my sleep number is splorf.
Oh, my God. But there, it's adjustable in five different places instead of just two.
Multiple appendages.
Yeah, exactly.
Two spines.
Splorf, that's your sleep number?
Yeah.
Okay. So... 2 years. The signal lasted hours and was picked up by by Parkes Observatory in Australia. 2 years later, astronomers determined the signal was likely emitted from Earth in a way that fooled the telescope. So,
man,
fooled you.
Yeah.
In 2018,
pull my finger.
Canadian researchers caught a fast radio burst that was probably an emission from a certain kind of neutron star, and rogue signal in 2015 was even tracked by a microwave.
When you were in Hawaii, you were close. Did you do Kilauea?
No. We weren't on the Big Island. We were on Kauai. But while we were on Oahu and Kauai, but while we were there,
because they have an observatory.
Well, there was a big protest that was going on about
right.
Oh. The Native Hawaiians,
right?
Had not Samoans.
Oh, I thought they were.
No, Hawaii. Native Hawaiians.
Hawaiians.
Yeah.
So the Native Hawaiians, the Samoans are from Samoa.
So where is then, because I know that, Momoa, Jason Momoa was there protesting. I thought he was Samoan.
I don't know. Okay. But anyhow, they were making, it was the protests were just starting to happen because of this observatory, and it's on a sacred part of the mountain and so on.
Yeah.
Expansion zone and all this. But
I would love to go to at least, I'd love to go and see one of these facilities and see what they're pulling in.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, you know, there's very little light that they have to deal with. It's crystal clear. They can see.
It would be amazing.
And of course, you have the elevation of the mountain there, too. But
so his last name is Momoa, and it rhymes with Samoa. But he is Hawaiian.
Hawaiian.
There you go.
All right. So let's see what else we got here. How about...
He's also in Fast 10, by the way.
Let me see here. I have a number of places with him.
Everybody!
Hey. All right, this is going to be. Okay. You guys are going to try this, and we can't do it, and it's really weird. But are you able to breathe in through your nose in the middle of a sentence while you are talking? If you can do this without pausing to inhale, it's a rarity. Only 1% of people can actually do this.
I don't. There's no way.
They tend to be musicians.
Right, wait, so you can... So while you're talking, you're breathing...
You can exchange air in and out.
I was breathing in my nose that entire time we were talking.
Well, you have to speak.
Oh, I have to.
Yeah.
Well, how is that possible? Because while you're talking,
you have to draw air in through your sphincter.
So, no, I was reading this, and since it said they tend to be musicians, I'm assuming... It's akin to this, if you play a wind instrument, there's something called circular breathing that you can do. And the best way to describe it is it's kind of like a bagpipe, okay? So, you know how bagpipes, they fill up the bladder.
Okay? Right.
That big bag. And they keep squeezing it. They're blowing into that tube. They're not, the noise that you hear from that is not from them blowing into the tube. They're blowing in and they're, well, actually, I guess part of it does that. But anyhow, they're filling up that bag with air constantly and then they squeeze it with their arm.
That's why you hear that.
Yeah, so the drone, yeah. So you can kind of do that with your mouth if you play a wind instrument. And so there are people that are good at it. They can hold a note, a single note, without it breaking, without a pause, for like... Hang on. So you can do it for like 5 minutes at a time.
Right.
Or even longer. And you know who holds the world record for longest sustained note? Kenny G.
Really?
Holds the world record for longest sustained note using circular breathing. So what you do is, and it looks weird because you will see their mouth balloon up like Dizzy Gillespie.
Right.
And as they are... as they force the air into their mouth, they use simply their cheeks to push out the air, and at the same time, they're breathing in through their nose and keep filling up their lungs. It's really complex.
I don't think I could do it.
Really hard to do.
I can barely talk.
Yeah, here we go. Kenny G set the record, 45 minutes and 47 seconds for the longest held musical note.
Huh.
I'm assuming it's the same way with this ability to keep on speaking and inhale at the same time.
Is everybody trying it?
I don't know. I tried it, and it's
impossible.
It's next to impossible.
What purpose would be gained by, or what would be the benefit of being able to do that?
There is no benefit to being able to do that. It's just
musically, I can see.
Yeah, it's just a goofy thing. And then some other rare tricks include touching your nose with your tongue. I can't do that.
Oh, I can do that.
You can do that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Nice. Calf.
So that means...
All right, now do it to my nose.
Yeah.
Bending
to my taint.
Bending your thumb backwards. You've seen people that can
I can't do that. I love the old gag is, can you stick out your tongue and touch your nose? And people try that, and you go,
You actually touch your nose with your index finger and stick your tongue out. Or wiggling your ears intentionally.
I can do that.
You can do
you
that?
Can do that?
Wait, wiggle
is that where you got your nickname?
No.
Oh, nice, Casey.
What's your nickname?
He can do it.
Do it
now. Wiggles.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking ears.
Okay.
I actually figured that out just kind of by accident as a lifeguard, Kathy. I was on the lifeguard
stand. That's how you swim.
And I was wiggling my sunglasses that were...
So boring up there.
I had tried so hard for like ever and ever. And then just one day, I was like, oh my God, I can do it.
When you do it, are you moving your jaw? You just can feel...
Just moving my ear balls.
All right. Casey brought the recorder over. You want me to try circular breathing?
What is the world record for the longest note held on
five
a recorder?
5 minutes. Oh, not on the recorder. I don't know.
I can't do it.
I don't know.
Okay.
Right, good.
Try. So I tell
you. Wait.
So I'll play a note.
Dim the lights.
And as you don't want to dim the lights. And as I, it's dark out anyway. It's raining. We don't get enough light in here. And as I play this note, I will fill up my mouth with air. I'll fill up my my cheeks with air. Right. And then I will...
Now think of a number from 1 to 10.
I'll stop breathing out and just use the pressure of my mouth to push air out while trying to inhale through my nose.
I don't even
I'll
know.
Be able to do that, but then the hard part is not breaking and then starting to breathe again. So,
all right. Here we go. Try it.
Nope, can't do it.
Oh, wow. That's a new world record.
All right, what's the record?
The new world record was 4 seconds, 4.81
don't
seconds.
Don't tie me. I've never done this before.
Let me try a different note.
Oh, that was shorter.
Yeah, that was...
No, I can't do it. Hang on, Mike can do it. He's on the phone. All right. Hi, Mike, good morning. Hey, Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hi, Mike.
I played a couple different wind instruments in high school, one of them being trumpet, and the in through your nose while blowing out is a technique they tried to teach me.
Yep.
They tried to teach everyone. I couldn't do it.
Isn't it funny, though, Mike? The press just said, what, less than 1% of the people can do it?
Yeah.
So why would they try to teach you something that is so elusive to most people?
Because it's exactly what you guys, what you were saying. It's a way to be able to.
Well, I know it is, but
you're going to laugh.
But they at least want you to try it, and if you happen to be one of those people, you can develop.
Make you upset when you can't do it.
I had a classmate who he did have the ability to do it, and he's a professional trumpet player now. He plays with some of the greatest people in the world.
Wow,
here in the country. But yeah, apparently I'm just not.
You're one of the 99%ers.
Yes, I'm not cut out for blowing for long periods
of
time.
Well, okay, understood. So to that point, Preston, so you mentioned Dizzy Gillespie. Dizzy Gillespie,
thank you, by the way, Mike.
Huge cheeks.
Yeah.
Inflate. Mm-hmm. That was his ability, I assume, to keep a note sustained, right? I don't know if he's doing circular breathing.
I'm sure he probably could with cheeks like that. But
you guys have seen Dizzy Gillespie.
Yeah, him and Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, but Dizzy's mouth was just gigantic.
Looked like a squirrel
when he would fill it up.
But it wasn't that way when he was a kid. Like he had that, but it got bigger. Like he actually,
no kidding.
Yeah, over time
he did cheek ups.
He did some cheek ups, and
it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger's muscles, right?
Yeah.
Work this on kind it. Of yeah. thing, and the circular breathing, and the chipmunks, and the big cheeks.
The chipmunks.
All right. Anyhow, people can't only a handful of people can actually continue to talk while they inhale through their nose. That's really strange. All right. What else we got here? Let's go to the travel section of the store.
It's huge.
Book you guys some trips. Flying economy for an extended period of time is an experience usually endured rather than enjoyed. But one airplane seat designer thinks that his design could revolutionize budget travel. His name is Alejandro Nunez Vicente. His Chaise Lounge airplane seat concept started small scale last year as a college project for the then 21-year-old. But a nomination in the 2021 Crystal Cabin Awards, a top prize in the aviation industry.
From Las Vegas, Nevada.
What is it? It's the Crystal Cabin Awards.
The Crystal Cabin Awards, featuring Charlene Tilton.
He ended up getting that, and the design became the focus of a flurry of online attention following a CNN travel article.
Bert Convy's friend.
Since then, just his friend, like Bert Convy.
Jamie Vars Taylor.
Yeah. The Crystal Cabin Awards. Since then, Nunez Vicente's has been... making waves in the world of aviation. So he paused his master's degree to pursue the project full time. He is in talks with big name airlines and seat manufacturing companies. He's been granted some hefty investments that have also allowed the project to develop. So some people marvel at this innovation. Others recoil, concerned about claustrophobia and convinced sitting underneath someone else would be worse, not better than the current airplane economy setup. So I want you, Connor, to see if you can find video or pictures of this, and I want to get your guys' reaction.
All right, so take a look
this.
At this, guys, and see if this is something you'd be comfortable with.
I could do top bunk. I can't do bottom bunk.
So the bottom, you sit underneath people,
nope.
sort
no.
of.
No?
No,
I'd get claustrophobic. I'd be unable to fly.
I don't think I would not prefer it, but it definitely it wouldn't bother me. I don't think I'd get claustrophobic.
Here's the deal.
I'm looking at this photo right now in the studio with a lady in the lower seat. I felt anxiety looking at her.
Wow. Okay.
Especially like on the middle seat or the window seat.
Oh God. No, I can't do it.
I don't think I'd have trouble with that.
So you have a TV monitor in front of you.
Yeah.
Which helps. So you've got something to keep you occupied. Yeah, it's right in front of you, and so it's kind of hard. You'll have to see it for yourself, because describing it is going to be a little bit difficult. But
you know what would be in my brain is that I am also, I have a TV screen in front of me, but I also have
someone's
ass inches away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a butthole right
around
the corner.
They have a butthole, a gasket that protects you.
It would bother me the entire flight.
Now, let me ask you guys. A lot of you are currently looking into the buttholes of the business. I want you to imagine that screen is blocking you from any of the farts.
Let me ask you, do you guys fart on planes?
Yeah.
Of course. No, I gave it up. Of course.
Okay. I mean, it's a bodily function. So, okay. You know?
Yeah. You don't go to the bathroom. You just fart in your seat.
Like if I feel...
You go out on the wing.
If I feel I'm going to crank out like a rotten egg, you know, hideous one, and there's going to be no doubt who dealt it, well, sure, I'd get up and try and go and do that in the bathroom, but that would be when there's like three people in line for it, and
that's
I'd probably be screwed, so you just do it.
I always ask the stewardess or whatever, the flight attendant, for the can of soda, and I will fart into the can.
Into the can and close that.
Okay. You're better off with a bottle.
The pressure,
bottle of soda.
The pressure helps push it down it in there.
Yeah.
And so you're good.
I have been on a flight where somebody biffed, and it smelled so bad, and I'm like... And I knew it wasn't me.
Yeah. Like, did you want to let everyone know it wasn't you?
I think I might have even said something.
Passenger in seat C7 says he didn't cut it.
And we know what that means.
Of course, we know by airline rules whoever smelled it dope.
But I have said to the person next to me, that was not me. I promise you that.
So we're looking at the back, Casey. Look at this section here. You do have a more leg room. Kathy... Is that workable to you?
Yeah, that looks... From this angle, it looks a little better.
My question is how you... The goal is to take advantage of existing space. How difficult would it be? And also on a safety level, when you have an emergency situation where you have to vacate seats, how much more difficult is this?
Yeah, it would be difficult to get out of. And and also, what type of aircraft is this available on? It has to have a very
the spruce
high,
goose.
Well, it would have to have a very high ceiling for this to work out.
Okay, so I normally fly
Fart Airlines.
That's what I do.
Wait, if you listen closely, you can hear them as they're flying by. They take off from Philadelphia International. There it goes.
Yeah. There it is.
Let's go out and watch it pass. It's like the Concorde.
I have no problems with Southwest. I've flown Southwest. You know, it's a comfortable flight. The only reason I don't like Southwest is because
it's a bad direction.
I prefer to choose my seats ahead of time. I don't want to get my seats as I'm walking on the plane.
That's stressful to me.
I don't... Because I need a window seat.
Yeah. What you can do, Casey, if you do fly Southwest, is you can get preferred when they call you.
Yeah.
And you'll guaranteed get a window seat.
So, but I flew when I was... I went down to Disney in April, and I flew a different airline that... the only reason I flew is because I waited too long to get the tickets, and flight prices were out of...
control.
Just out of control. So I ended up flying a different airline, and the seats were like... They were basically like folding chairs. And I was like, why? Like, I don't understand. Why are you like chintzing on this now? You know, like,
what do you mean? But why?
Just put in comfortable chairs. Just, you know, like the chairs were no smaller than regular like airline chairs. But like, why are you trying to save this, you know, money?
Was it a smaller aircraft?
No, it was, you know, standard 737 or 20, you know, it was
okay.
Like a standard...
So three seats on each row.
Yeah.
And they had really, really small. What airline was it?
Well, because it was Frontier, whatever.
Okay.
Their seats have always been like that.
Yeah.
Those planes have always been
like
that.
But,
like,
why?
Because it was at one point, it was extremely cheap. It was way cheaper than any of the other airlines.
I know that, but, like, eventually you are going to make money when you're constantly selling out flights. So
they embraced the spirit of the American frontier.
How much money did they actually save, Kathy, do you think, on those seats rather than just the regular airline seats that actually have a little bit of a cushion?
Steve, they're rocking chairs.
Yeah.
The American frontier.
Here's your whittling knife.
But I'm with you, Casey. I'm a window seat kind of guy. I love being able to look out. I still marvel at the fact that we as human beings can fly. I know we've been doing it for a long time. But I love to look out there and just marvel at the fact that I'm thousands of feet in the air and looking down at the ground.
It's great. Used to be. I loved the window seats. I loved the sort of just seeing that whole thing and again, marveling at it. But I am now staunchly an aisle seat guy.
No kidding.
Guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Me too, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I get my leg banged too much with
people
going
elbow.
By.
Yeah. I pay people to bang my legs.
So, Casey, Frontier is qualified as a ultra low-cost carrier. And I know Southwest is a low-cost carrier. So, like, that they... Frontier was like, we and Spirit Airlines are going to go even lower than Southwest. And I guess that's what their business model
is. Do you guys ever fly Circus Cannon? It's a very cheap.
One way.
Here's your helmet.
Yep. Nice flight.
All right. You got 3, 2, 1. There you go. Have fun. Have a safe landing.
That was our landing.
Yeah, yeah. We're not responsible for your landing. By the way, these seats.
We don't have seats.
The Chaise Lounge Airplane seats. These are a prototype. They're designed with two ladder-like steps for travelers to use access to the top level.
It's almost like it's sort of an airline's riff on a sleeper car in a train.
Now, the review of the top level seat said the seat feels roomy and comfortable. There's plenty of room for stretching out legs. The prototype seats don't move, but they're each set up in different positions to indicate how they could recline. The design does away with the overhead cabin. Instead, he designed space in between the top and bottom levels for travelers to stow cabin luggage. Now, the bottom row of seats, this reviewer said that the frustration Frustration with a lack of legroom was the original impetus for the design, and by not having a seat on the same level in front, it does allow you to stretch out your legs.
Yes, we can see that.
And there's a footrest for added comfort. See, now, I would like that a lot. Being a tall person, my ability to actually stretch my legs out is difficult.
And if you, honestly, part of the thing of being able to, and I haven't been able to do it, fall asleep fully, would be to extend out like that.
But the reviewer said because the other level of seats are directly above you and in your eye line, it feels pretty claustrophobic.
What about the downside of having farts go into your eyes?
They didn't indicate that in this review, but they said if you don't mind tight spaces and you're planning simply to sleep all flight, it could be an effective solution. So, as of now, it's prototyping. It'd be years before something like this would ever really be implemented.
I mean, they're still trying to jam in as many people as they can. Oh,
exactly. Yeah.
That's the mission.
Yeah, so, and I remember reading one time, you know how when you sometimes will get a seat, a window seat, and it's placed where the window is... Uh-huh. Like, the space is there between the windows.
Oh, you hate it.
And the window is, like, far forward or far back.
That's not a window.
Well, do you know why that is? Because...
To F up your vacation.
No, the companies like Boeing and Lockheed and all these that design the aircraft have nothing to do with the seats. They don't do that. The airline does the seats.
That's true.
And they want to squeeze in as much as they can. They're given this aircraft empty. And then it is up to the airline to fill it with whatever they can, depending on the weight requirements and the stability. And so they will put in, they don't care. They will put in as many seats as they can or, you know, have the amount of space to, depending on if your budget or your comfort or you're luxurious.
Yeah.
And they don't care about the windows, essentially.
That's why. You know, the way to travel, Preston, is the first class in Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, my gosh.
Dear God.
That's the way to travel.
Oh, my God.
I almost don't really want to have a destination. I just want to be in that little suite that they have.
It's when you go to a really nice hotel. Like, you don't want to leave the hotel because the hotel's so freaking nice.
Could you imagine taking a long trip in that kind of... Yes. So you're probably... I don't even know what that goes for, but it's crazy rich Asians that can afford it.
Are there still planes that have two stories?
The 747s?
The giant Airbus.
Yeah, has
two levels.
But I don't think...
Full levels.
Are there 747s still...
No, I think they're all gone.
They're all gone, right?
Air Force One is a 747.
They might still be in some rotation, but I don't think they're making them anymore.
That's definitely true, Nick. I remember reading a story about
that. Can you request Air Force One when you're flying?
No. Have we ever tried? I mean, you don't know until you try. So, at least I know it used to be...
Airbus 380. I'm sorry, Preston. The Airbus 380 is the wide-body airliner that's the double-decker. And I've seen, Air Emirates, Like some of the fanciest airline, Steve, okay. that go like to Dubai and whatever.
Yeah, oh God.
They have those.
You know what I never really thought about, and I just kind of Googled it, was how much does a an airline make, like, profit-wise
per person?
Per person.
What'd you get? Flight.
So this one is from money.com, and it says, here's how much airlines are profiting off of your plane ride. And it says...
It's like a billion.
It's like a billion. No, according to the Wall Street Journal, the average profit per passenger of the seven largest U.S. airlines was just $17.75 per passenger for a one-way flight.
I don't doubt that. And that... So, like, is that adjusted for current fuel costs?
You know, I got to see when this was. This was back in 2018, though.
Right.
So, this is four years ago.
That's why you've seen recently the phenomenon of the pilots putting out a tip jar.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, you know, if there's a full flight of, what, 150? How many are in a full flight of, like, let's say a 737?
I like a medium-sized aircraft like that. Sounds about right.
Yeah, so 150 people. So the airlines are making $2,000. That doesn't sound like that much. I mean,
it's not.
No, it's definitely not.
But, I mean, how many flights are they having a day? And
they've had to cut a lot of those because there is an incredible shortage of pilots.
But we're already, you know, taking out all the operating costs, like, you know, the cost of the, you know, the flight attendants, the pilots, the fuel, and blah, blah, blah. And then so...
Snacks. I like snacks.
Oh, my God, I love snacks. But I bring my own snacks, you know? Like, you can keep your peanuts, man. You can keep your crackers. I got my peanut M&Ms and my Twizzlers.
Do you do a lot of hand-wringing, though, when they start to come around and the offer's on the table? And they're like a couple of seats in front of you, like, do I just do it? Do I want these things?
That's why I always bring my own stuff on the plane.
Would you ever bring rack lamb? Do you ever go like a fast food route, Casey? Plane?
I'll do that
In the airport.
In the airport, yeah. By the way, on the plane.
I find it a little offensive.
Can we agree, major faux pas, major horrendous passenger thing to do? Bring some smelly food onto the plane.
Yeah, and I don't care for that. You can bring your peanut M&Ms.
Yes, you can have your peanut M&Ms.
Don't bring your snapper soul.
Bring your snapper soul.
Yeah,
your gyro.
Yeah.
No, I don't go for that, Nick.
Yeah.
No, you and Hall and Oates.
That don't befront you?
I was doing Hall and Oates.
Oh, I was doing Thurgood.
Well, you know, you went Delaware, I went Philadelphia.
All right.
The concert of the century.
Just listen. Just keep it in the Delaware Valley. That's all that.
That's all we ask.
All right, we got to close up. We've been open way too long, folks. Shop is shutting down, but thank you for stopping by. We need to take a break and come back in a moment. We got bizarre file stories that we will share when we return. I think we're going to play a special little song when we come back, too, that's a little bit outside of the norm. We'll be right back.
If you like what you hear, you can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
WMMR. A lot of questions on our text messages as we played that song from Kate Bush in the 1980s. And I'll explain.
Yeah.
The song has made a big resurgence, and Bill Weston was like, you know what? Go ahead and play that. Play that song. We love that song.
Oh, my God. I loved it from the second it came out. Kate Bush has worked, obviously, with Peter Gabriel and the song Don't Give Up. That's Kate Bush singing along with Peter Gabriel. She's amazing.
But Stranger Things 4, it's a very prominently used in the show.
It's great.
I got tears watching
some
of the scenes where they're playing that. So it was really cool to be able to play that this morning. As you can imagine, there's very little. As you can imagine.
Yeah, right?
There's very little middle ground on that song that we just
really?
Played. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It has a pun. Read the text.
I love that song. It's on my it's on my playlist. Yeah, and to me that puts me in mind of Salisbury Hill, sort of Peter Gabriel.
That puts me in a time frame.
Yeah,
too,
yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So if you're if that's out of your time frame, it might be kind of hard to wrap your mind around that. But
do you mind if I hear, because apparently Halsey covered that song at the governor's ball?
Yes, she did.
Sure. And is it, I love her voice. Is it good? We have the audio.
Go ahead.
All right. I mean, you can hear people singing along in the crowd, but yeah, that sounds really good. Don't worry, we will play, Led Zeppelin and stuff too. So you don't have to worry. We're having some fun there.
Yeah, we play a ton of stuff for Christ's sake.
It's okay.
Yeah. You'll be all right.
It's okay, son.
Yeah.
Are people freaking out?
A little bit. Yeah.
It's funny.
By the way, this is what we're giving you right now. It's free. All this stuff is free.
Absolutely, 100%. All right, we need to do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by East Coast Roofing, Siding, and Windows, serving South Jersey since 1979. If you call, they'll show up. All right. This is a Texas family is suing a Houston hospital and doctor after the family's 4-year-old received an unintended vasectomy during surgery.
Can you believe that?
According to Randy Sorrells, an attorney in Houston, the 4-year-old had surgery to treat a hernia in the groin area. At some point during the surgery, Sorrells says the 4-year-old had an unintended vasectomy. The surgeon, the lawyer said, we think cut accidentally the vas deferens, one of the tubes that carries reproductive semen in it, and it could affect this young man for the rest of his life.
Oh, my God.
Online records reveal the surgeon has no history of malpractice and has zero issues reported before. Sorrell said advancements in medical technology could allow the young boy to someday have children. However, that would likely require more surgery. Sorrells believes that the boy will always have fertility issues.
Vasectomies can be reversed, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
But they can also, mistakes can be made and cause permanent damage. So,
what's that show where that's what they do? They focus on these mistakes that...
botched?
That's
more plastic surgery.
No, there's one where they focus on the doctors that have made mistakes, like amputating the wrong leg.
Oh,
and
no, I've
like
never
that.
Seen that.
I forget the name of it.
Can they extract semen from the, a vasectomated?
Right, to, freeze it, you mean?
Yeah, suppose, I'm just, can
you
they go
mean,
in there
for a nice summer treat?
Can they go in there with, a syringe and extract?
I would assume if your body's producing it, yes.
But
probably not at that age.
No. My research indicates no.
Okay. I have no idea.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay.
All right,
a Florida man awaiting trial for allegedly submitting more than $4 million in fraudulent health care claims was detained on a jet ski while he was trying to ride to Cuba. On a jet ski. Ernesto Cruz Graverin, a 54-year-old Cuban citizen, owned Zixo Enterprises, a company that provided equipment to Medicare beneficiaries.
Is this guy friends with the Tiger King?
As a result of claims for medical equipment he never provided, Graverin received a payout of $2.1 million over just 2 months in 2022. In court, officials said Coast Guard officers were found... had found Graverin just south of Key West on a broken-down jet ski 90 miles away from his final destination of Cuba.
What's the range on a jet ski?
Not 90 miles, I wouldn't think. But he was aboard a jet ski with a man who the Department of Justice believes smuggles illegal immigrants across the border. The jet ski was strapped with special fuel meant for extended trips.
Well, there you go.
And a trove of food and water bottles.
Had to be very safe.
A judge agreed with prosecutors that Graverin posed a flight risk. Officers also confiscated his passport. Graverin will remain at the Federal Detention Center in Miami.
I guess, Steve, you actually could make it on a jet ski if you got good fuel mileage. The average jet ski is 75 to 150 miles.
miles.
Okay.
And Cuba is 90 miles, from Key West.
Yeah,
so if you did it right,
you're taking a bit of a risk on a jet ski.
Yeah.
Breaking down and being in open water. So who knows?
It's doable.
A Texas woman was charged with a felony. Listen to this. After spitting on a corpse at a funeral home during a viewing.
What?
She walked up and... right on the corpse.
She was arrested?
According to an arrest affidavit, Lori Lynn Hines walked into a funeral home in Tyler, Texas, walked straight up to the casket, and spit on the corpse.
Do you know, I would not be surprised to learn that that happens...
more often?
More often. Maybe somebody could... You know, it's almost like, hell.
If there was like an abuser or something like that,
somebody
who
shows up
and they come in.
Spits on their corpse.
Witness on the scene said that Hines had animosity toward the family of the person in the casket.
Oh, so it wasn't a beloved family member.
police obtained a warrant for Hines' arrest and was charged with state jail felony abuse of corpse.
You're going to spit jail.
All right, a very smart, brave, and innocent 15-year-old is recovering after a horrific experience last Friday. Gianna Vettarelli, I think, and her girlfriend were leaving a mall in Santa Clara when suddenly something happened. Gianna said, me and her heard this really loud thwack noise, and I immediately said, ow. And it turns out she was hit by a drive-by pellet gun projectile.
Oh, this is the thing now.
Yeah, a situation that the police are now investigating. But it got worse, okay? So she said, we turned around to see what it was, and we just see a car driving off, rolling up its window. After blood started flowing from the wound, paramedics thought it was a relatively minor piercing of her skin. But as her condition worsened and her breathing was labored, doctors found out it was much worse. Her father said, my wife took her to urgent care. They had done an X-ray, and that's where they found the pellet. The pellet had done its damage. It had collapsed my lung, she said, fractured a rib, and it caused a lot of internal bleeding, and then it almost hit my heart. Oh. This is a pellet, man.
Yeah.
You know, these people that are going around doing this, and apparently there were several that day in this area.
So this is the thing. You'll see this footage popping up, and you'll see it on, the news, and they'll ride around with their phones, and usually it's homeless people that they're going after, but it's just horrible.
So she had emergency surgery and spent 3 days in the intensive care unit. The pellet is and will remain in her lung.
Oh, man.
Her father said it's going to take a long time to recover. She's probably going to have some mental issues or anxiety going on in public, out in public.
Years ago, they were doing it with paintballs.
Yes. And a paramedic told the family that she was the fourth pellet shooting victim of that day. So stop playing around with that stuff, man. All right, and that's all we have time for. That is the Bizarre File. We got to take a break. We're going to come back in a second. Our good friend Cecily Tynan is going to be jumping on. We're also going to have another good friend, Daniel Roebuck, who is starring as Grandpa Munsters in the Rob Zombie-directed film The Munsters.
And he's got like a whole bunch of his own movies he's been working on.
We'll talk to him in a bit. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Hey, friend, did you receive our Camp Out for Hunger Save the Date? I mean, we made a big announcement, and then we put it right there on the website for you. Well, just in case you missed it, Preston and Steve's 25th Camp Out for Hunger is set November 7th through the 11th, 2022. And hey, it's never too early to start collecting. You can find the list of Phil Abundance's most requested items, plus all of the outrageous photo galleries and videos of our guests from over the years at WMMR.com/campout.
So there is a Twitter post that arose yesterday. Casey saw it, and it's A.J. Brown, new acquisition of the Eagles.
Right.
Casey was telling me, he knows a lot better than I do, one of the great receivers in the league.
Yeah.
And he tweeted out, today I learned that the percent on the weather doesn't mean that it's the percent of a chance it's going to rain /etc. It means it's the percent of the city, the amount that is going to get hit with rain /etc. Meaning, like, 50% rain means that's how much in the city it will rain in. And then he put the little mind-blown emoji. So I've heard some different ideas about what that exactly means. And Casey and I, and all of us, were kind of going back and forth on our own opinion about what that actually means. And then we were like, well, we know somebody who has the definitive answer, so why don't we get her on the line? And so we set it up for today. This is the weather goddess I was talking about. Cecily Tynan of 6ABC. Hi, Cecily. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, and I have to say, I love the fact that this has started a conversation because, you know, of course I'm a weather geek, and I love when people are just talking about meteorology, even if even if that tweet was technically wrong, I like the fact that people are talking about it.
It sort of seemed kind of wrong to me. At first I thought, well, wow, I guess I've had it wrong. But then I thought about it, and it's like, no, you can't mean that. But you're our source, so what exactly does it mean?
All right, well, let me explain this, and then I can tell you why there's some confusion about this. So okay. It's called probability of precipitation. So if a meteorologist says there's a 50% chance of rain, so this is the probability that the forecast area in question will receive measurable precipitation. So that means at least a hundredth of an inch during that forecast time. So it doesn't mean that it'll rain 50% of the time. It doesn't mean that 50% of the area will receive rain. It just means that that's the chance of rain. That's the probability. It doesn't even talk about how much. Now, the gray area is that technically the formula for calculating the probability of precipitation is forecast confidence times the area expected to get precipitation. So if a forecaster is 80% confident that 50% of the area will get rain, mm-hmm. then the probability of precipitation would be 40%.
Okay.
So theoretically, if you use that formula, saying if a forecaster is 100% confident that 50% of the area could get rain or would get rain, it would be 50%.
Now, that okay. is okay. And there is where lies the confusion, because I've heard exactly. that before. And that's why when Casey showed me this tweet, I'm like, he's kind of right on that.
So it's completely theoretical, because I will tell you in complete honesty, as a meteorologist, we're never 100% confident that anything's going to happen.
Right.
Except for the sun rising. So, I mean, if you're 80% is good, 90% is great. So, if I were 100% confident or 95% confident that, say, our southern half of our viewing area would get rain, there's no way I would say there's a 50% chance of rain. I would say that there's a likelihood we'll see showers to the south. Or
okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't take that complete confidence and spread it over our entire viewing area. And typically, we don't even use percentages that much, say, like in the 7-day forecast. If the percentages is low, like 10 to 20%, I'd say isolated. If it's a little bit higher, like 30 to 40%, say scattered, 50 to 70 is numerous, and then above 70% chance, I'd say widespread.
Right. Okay, so you're not taking your percentage of what you think it is. You're not using that typically in your forecast?
Well, I mean, we do sometimes. I don't typically in a 7-day forecast, but last night in our reality, and we have this thing that kind of spins and comes out of the ground. It doesn't really exist. You know, it's all
right. It's all pretend.
It's a long way since the magnetic clouds.
Right.
We did say, I showed the chance of precipitation. You know, I said 70% today, 30% tomorrow, and then zero through the weekend. So we do sometimes, but again, if I had a high confidence that part of our viewing area, but only part of our viewing area would get precipitation, I wouldn't use that in a percentage.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I think it's, you know? I mean, what's wild is, like, when you're talking about rain, like, at a certain point in, like, the clouds, the rain is going to stop. So, you know, quite possibly, it could be raining across the street from you, and you could be getting absolutely nothing, which is, you know, to me, kind of like a, you know, wild concept, because it's just, it seems like rain just needs to be blanketed across an entire area, right?
Well, especially during the summer. So, you know, when we have thunderstorms, when we have convective activity or severe weather, you know, it's a lot of times where one area gets hit and the other area doesn't. And, you know, we have severe thunderstorm warnings, or we have tornado watches, you know, or warnings, that it's hyper localized a lot of times.
So,
and sometimes people seem to be mad. Where's the tornado watch? I didn't get a tornado. What's going on?
Where's my tornado?
Oh, man, listen, Cecily, you and your contemporaries get the brunt. I always feel bad, and even my close personal friends will beat up on meteorologists, and I'm like, come on, man. You know, I mean, you're talking about a very large area that they're trying to give information on. You could break it way down if you wanted to, but you only have so much time. Like, I give just a general kind of BS forecast in the morning here throughout the day. And I know that, you know, while our signal stretches almost out to Atlantic City and down into Maryland and sometimes up to New York and so on, I'm like, I'm not going to do a breakdown by region. But I always feel bad for you guys when you catch the brunt of it. But
it's okay. I mean, I've grown a thick skin.
Yeah, I'm sure you
have. Well, so listen, you've been here for a long time, Cecily. I wasn't sure if you have ever heard of this phenomenon or this thing called the Cape May bubble. It's something that I've actually experienced many times. Are you aware of the Cape May bubble?
You know, I am. And you know what? I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, Cape May's got the ocean on one side and has the bay on the other. And a lot of times if you have, say, a line of storms moving towards an area, if temperatures can drop just a couple degrees, it's like kryptonite. It can really weaken the storms. And a lot of times you got this line of storms moving, you know, through Delaware, you know, through southeastern Pennsylvania, and then it hits the bay and it just falls apart. And so I think that has a lot to do with why storms a lot of times just kind of fizzle before they get to Cape May.
You know, also what I end up using a lot is the radar on the AccuWeather app.
I do too.
I use that all the time.
Yep.
And so that is it 9 times out of 10 gives you a really solid picture. Especially if you're, what's going to happen in the next half hour or what's going to happen in the next 20 minutes. It gives you a good visual representation. It's the best of the ones that I've used in the way it depicts the area and has, I think, a high degree of accuracy.
Yeah, no, I like using it too. I just think it's amazing how I've been here, it'll be 27 years this October. And I think I have a dog that's trying to play fetch with me right now. And I think it's amazing how, like, you know, it used to be that only meteorologists would have access to radar or, you know, even computer models or anything like that. And I think it's great how now really anybody does. And you have it on your phone, you know, right in your pocket. So if you're at a soccer game or something and the sky gets dark, you can pull it out and you can look at the radar and see. And I think it's gotten to make, you know, things a lot safer.
No, it's damn good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cecily, this is another dumb weather question, but is there a difference between partly cloudy and partly sunny?
Technically, partly cloudy is supposed to have more sunshine and partly sunny has more clouds, but...
Is that right?
Partly sunny and mostly cloudy would be the same thing.
All right, so partly sunny...
Mostly cloudy has more clouds.
Is there a difference between clear and a blizzard?
It's a gray area.
It's a gray area now. It's partly blizzard.
Wait, so partly sunny has more clouds. And partly cloudy has more sun.
No, mostly cloudy has more clouds.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what?
Then partly sunny. Partly sunny means there's just a little bit of sun. But mostly cloudy would be, you would think that would be the same thing.
No,
a little bit of sun.
That's not what she said.
I know. I'm saying what one might think is because it's mostly cloudy doesn't mean that it's all cloudy, that there is partial sun.
Well,
therefore,
I would say perhaps, and Cecily, you'll agree with this, the sun is always out.
Arguing about this.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's what
with
we
do.
The
right? Nick, the sun is always out. It just may be obscured by clouds.
One could say that mostly sunny would be the same as partly cloudy.
One could.
Well,
one could.
No, mostly sunny has more sun, though.
A little bit more than partly cloudy.
Mostly sunny has more sun.
Okay.
As has more sun. Yeah.
Right, let me ask you this question. Do you and Adam Joseph talk mostly about weather or mostly about fitness?
Mostly about fitness.
Okay.
the weather's like their life.
I have another Cecily question. With all the water skiing, have you ever tried one of those motorized surfboard thingies?
Ooh.
Like a hydrofoil?
Those hydrofoils, I have not. I'd love to, though. My husband has. We used to have a neighbor who had one. And
that looks,
he loves it.
Right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, that looks fun.
He said it's hard to get used to, but once you do, it's really fun.
Wouldn't be as much work, though, because, and you like that, I think you like that physical sense of the tow rope, because you really work your muscles.
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I can.
Cecily.
This is my time of year. I love
that. Cecily, I grew up water skiing. My dad always owned a boat. We don't anymore. And I want my son to learn. Is there anywhere I can take him? Like, we don't have boats, so we don't have anybody.
Could you take him for the weekend?
Yeah. No. But, like, is there somewhere that does it that I could take him so that he could learn?
Yeah, not
Not really locally. There aren't any local water ski schools, but there's a place. So I went down to Virginia this past weekend to my university where I graduated, my alma mater, because my my college advisor passed away and they had a really nice service. And so I was in Lexington, Virginia. I went to Washington Lee University. On the way back, I made a detour into a town called Bumpus. It's
Bumpus?
B-U-M-P-A-S-S.
Bumpuses!
I was like, I got to check out this town and with a name like that. And there's a water ski school. It's called Peace, Love, and Water Ski with this pro, Corey Vaughn. It's a really, it's kind of at a farm. It's a private lake. And there are a lot of places like that in Florida, but that's the closest place. I don't think there's a place like that in like New Jersey.
Yeah,
okay.
Water skiing school.
I grew up in I lived in the Carolinas for a little bit of time. It's very big there. It's not you don't find as many lakes out this way to get out and do it.
Yeah, there's Colville water skiing in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think Seth Fisher, Myrtle Beach area. You know, actually in the Poconos, I know Lake Harmony used to have a pro who would take you out. To teach you how to water ski or wakeboard and stuff like that.
What about the online water skiing school?
Online. The correspondence courses.
Not as effective.
All right. Hold on to your refrigerator handle now. And have someone spritz you with water.
I am looking at it. It looks like Lake Harmony does still have that.
All right. Well, there you go.
Thanks.
It should be. It should be something that's it's a very popular deal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
And it's addicting. It's very, very fun. I mean, that's where I learned in the Poconos myself.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Excellent. Kathy.
All right. Well, Cecily, thank you for clearing that up. It's a little more involved with the percentages than just, hey, there's a, you know.
60% of what you said is 100% understandable.
That's correct. Yep.
We're all clear now.
Yep. We got 60% of it.
Exactly. All right. Well, I'm glad that you guys were interested in it, and I'm always happy to talk to you guys. And awesome. By the way, happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much.
One of the nicest weekends of the year. Temperatures in the 70s, sunny, low humidity.
Oh, that's right.
On Sunday, right? Or all weekend?
I mean, both Saturday and Sunday look really, really nice.
And tomorrow's really hot, right?
Tomorrow it's going to be hot. Okay. Yeah, like 92 right. degrees.
Then a quick thing. When does this clear up today, the rain?
It should probably be before lunchtime. I'm looking at my window right now, and it's pouring. I mean, I'm thinking like 11 o'clock or so. It should be all
right. All right. Awesome. Excellent. That's good. Okay. We love it. You've been doing good weather lately.
Absolutely. Great weather.
I'm going to go back to sleep now.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Cecily. We love you. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Love Cecily Tynan. Action News. Clearing it up for us. So. Yeah, so a little bit right, I guess, A.J. Brown. Not 100% correct on that. But
again, 50% of what he said was 100%.
listen, we have a couple of minutes to play with. We got a guest coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. I think we need to chit-chat a little bit just as a recap of last night, our sorority party.
Yes.
First one we've had post-pandemic, and we went to Parks Casino, the gastropub in their beer garden, which is so cool.
Man, do they always deliver Parks and the people there. And this particular room is sensational for these kind of things.
Yeah, Marissa posted some videos on social media on the Preston and Steve account. If you would like to take a look, maybe you've never been there and see what it was like. But I don't think we had any. I don't know if we have any of the square dancing, but we did have the swearing in ceremony. Some of that. Speaking of the square dancing, so last night we had Jeff Kaufman was our square dance caller from the Federation of Delaware Valley Square and Round Dancers. And he and his wife wanted to give a shout out to their grandson, Asher. Yes, aww. And he requested specifically, Jeff's like, I need to get a shout out for my grandson. So here's a shout out to Asher from his grandparents.
He's a super nice couple.
Yeah, they were really sweet. And trying to get those ladies to square dance you've heard the term herding cats before.
Yeah.
My God, it was hard.
You know what, though? Everyone was laughing like crazy trying to follow. Because Jeff was great, but he wasn't commanding the mic.
Well, and so you have a bunch of ladies who've been drinking, and it's a little noisy. And we waited, a good hour for everyone to get some booze in them. And so...
he was good. If you actually listened to him, you could do it.
And therein lies the problem, Kathy.
I know
me. You know me. when I'm trying to instruct people, because I play host a lot with the microphone and get people to do specific right. things, when they don't listen,
yeah.
I get a little testy. And so everybody's just kind of wandering around. I'm like, you got to listen to him or you'll never figure this out.
It
also would have been nice if we had someone to demonstrate what he was trying to explain to them. That I think, would have worked out.
It's hard to verbally hear what you want, what you're asked to do. But once you started going and you broke out into the groups, everyone was kind of having fun.
So we do-si-do'd.
Yeah, we did.
We alaman. We promenaded. We left, right, grand. We did right-hand stars and left-hand stars, and those were all the commands that we got.
And that pretty much gets you where you're going if you want to square dance.
Yeah, so we had a great showing. Some of us on the show square dance. I did it. Kathy, you did it.
I did.
Casey.
I tried to.
You came out, and then you just left.
So my...
I have to say, I was pretty pissed off when you did that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm in a lot of pain. And
I did not know that.
Yeah. So there's something wrong with my shoulder. And having my arms up and hands up like that, it was just, it was painful. And
I just thought you were like,
no.
Felt uncomfortable doing it.
No.
Okay.
That stuff.
I didn't think so. That was very unlike you.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So shoulder pain. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm experiencing some very, very unique sensations in my right shoulder that I've never felt before.
Okay.
And I think I'm falling in love with you, Preston.
I'm happy that you're able to be open with your feelings like this. So thank you.
Yeah,
because Preston was saying to me, I have to reassess Casey now.
No, it's
just the way he punked out on square dancing.
I am falling in love with Preston.
And I don't know how to tell you.
I'm glad you feel comfortable telling me that.
He was going to sing, "Can We Have This Dance for the Rest of..."
So so we did two rounds of the actual square dancing, and that covered pretty much everybody there that wanted to do
wanted
it
to.
Because we had well over 100 people there.
It was great.
There were a couple of ladies who I was like, "Did you dance?" And they went, "No." I was like, "Oh, okay."
Once they saw the performances, but everyone who wanted to did and had a great time, and then everyone who was just hanging out, the room was great. The energy of everyone showing up, Preston. It's been 3 years since we've been able to do this.
The last event we did prior to the pandemic was the sorority event at the Flyers game. We were upstairs, and that was our last big event. It was a sorority event. But so, Steve, it's been 3+ years at this point.
Wow.
And just to be able to get out there and do that again with that many
so
people.
Great.
It was so, in the same room and breathing the same air. It was a really nice crowd.
And they had the outside opened up, which is really cool.
Yeah, and what was great, too, is, a complimentary drink for everybody. They had this list of cocktails, and it was like pretty much anything goes. They had so many, and obviously they brew their own beer. It was wonderful.
What was you got, a free free spin, or
they were doing free play, like $25 bucks in free play.
Excellent.
For the casino. So I'll bet you, with the number of people we had there, a few walked away with some cash.
I just got a text from Kelly who says, "I turned the free $25 into
$250.
Where'd
well
go?
Done.
Nice. Well done.
By the way, that's the Kelly that brought us ice cream and that Preston ate all of it that time.
From Mary Mead Farms.
All our ice cream.
I love her. here's the thing also. Oh, and we're watching a video. Marissa bought a button making machine for like a little, a pin, like a little button that you would wear that says things. And she had all... Preston and Steve show sayings.
I was wondering what you were talking about. You were like, Marissa made buttons.
Yeah, little graphics. So I had one that said, "I am the noticer," with a little mask on it.
Oh.
And then we had some that were just, references to the sorority and just the show in general, Gadzooks and stuff like that.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, that was a really cool little addition to things. So we'll have to bring those out more often.
Yeah. You know what sort of kind of blew me away was the that sports room now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Those chairs, I was like, if I sit down in one of these chairs, I'm never getting up.
Yeah.
Because it was like really plush chairs to watch all these sporting events.
Yeah, it's their sports book.
Yeah.
And it's newer since we haven't been there in
a couple of years
for this event. You had to walk through it to get to where we were in this beer garden. But the beer garden is kind of like... a greenhouse.
It is.
In that it's all glass.
Yes.
All the way up to the top. And at that time of day, the sun was setting and it was just beating right down on us. It wasn't crazy hot inside or anything like that, but it was just bright. And it was kind of hard to see if you were facing west.
There were we had a number of the ladies were wearing it looked like a super cool gang that square dance because they're all wearing sunglasses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
And but they have the outdoor portion of the beer garden too.
Yes,
which was fantastic because that was a little more shady in there. Yeah. And it was just by shady I don't mean like people that were your questionable.
A lot of people hanging out, cursing and smoking.
No, but it was
the questionable people went out there.
It was great out there, and meeting some people for the first time was wonderful. And some of our old favorites had showed up as well.
And we had a lot of new inductees into Zeta Ate a Pie.
Mm-hmm. We had a woman who drove up from Virginia.
Yeah.
To be there as well, and yeah, we did the swearing in ceremony and the paddle ceremony.
Oh my god.
I'm still amazed because I told everyone who wanted to get spanked, who was going to be a new sister, that they could choose small, medium, or large as far as the amount of pressure,
yes,
pounds per square feet I put into my swing. And a lot of them wanted the large. And uh-huh. I feel so bad when I do it.
Large.
Yeah.
And it was wild. You know, it was kind of cool, too. There was a mom and her daughter who turned 21 in April.
Oh, yeah.
And they both were so into it, came out to the whole thing, and were just, it was just... It was her first big event since being able to drink.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Hang on a second. I'm going to go to Kelly, who had texted you, Nick. Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what?
So what's up, money bags?
What? So your $25 free slot pay turned into $250.
That's awesome.
10 right. times your free money right there. Nice.
Yeah, so thanks for that. That covered our bar tab plus some.
So I assume you got that on the slots?
I did, yeah. I play this one Buffalo game that I love, and I don't know. It does these crazy bells and whistles and gives you money.
That's a good game to play. Yeah, yeah.
Kelly, I was chatting with you for a little bit, and you brought your friend, and I forget her name.
Alexis.
And how old is Alexis?
So Alexis is 24.
Yeah, she referenced, we were talking about Pearl Jam at one point, and she referred to them as a classic rocker.
Oh!
Yeah, she was born in 1998, but it was really cool to see somebody who, you know, like Steve mentioned, the 21-year-old and 24-year-old. You know, it was a really cool range of people there last night.
Yeah, I feel like it was really cool for me because especially she was one of my students when I was teaching, and I just felt like I got to pass the torch and, like, introduce her to you guys because she doesn't really listen to the radio, but she was all about it.
Excellent. Awesome. Awesome.
All right, well, glad you can make it, Kelly. Congratulations on your windfall.
Thanks for having us.
All right, we'll see you. Yeah, and Nick's right. I mean, it went from 20s to 60s easily.
Yeah.
That big, wide range of ladies, and some were, you know, just meeting for the first time, and others were family members that came out. So cool. I love it. Now they're all family.
Yes, family. Our family.
And our good friend Juanita is on the phone line. She came up from Georgia for this event. Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I just wanted to say thanks for a good time last night. It really made my vacation.
So it was worth the trip.
It was worth the trip. I mean, I met someone. I did come by myself, but I met, like, some really nice ladies while I was there. One of the President and Steve girls, Melissa. She was
She's awesome, nice. Yeah. The whole vibe was cool. Was that the first time you'd been in that room?
Yeah, I've never been to Parks and Center ever in my life.
Yeah, so. it's an awesome facility.
Sorry, my dyslexia and my ADD kicked in. I was all over the place last night on that dance floor.
You were having some issues, and I was like, come on, guys. Come on.
Get your ass together, I think is what you said.
What did I say? Get your ass together?
Yeah,
I
know.
I was getting tired of it. Wow.
But make a square room, make it a circle.
All right. Well, it was great hanging with you, Juanita. It's great to see you again.
Great hanging with you guys. Talk to you.
Take care. We'll see you later.
Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So that has started up again, and I'm happy about that.
Yes.
That we can get together and do this. Now, I'd be happier if we could do it on, like, a Thursday. Wednesday night.
It feels weird today. Like, today should be Friday.
I know. That's normally the frame of mind that we're in. But thank you to Parks Casino and all those involved. Everybody who made it out last night. Again, to Jeff and his wife for... coming out and doing the square dancing, for us, because it was a lot of fun. We'll have to come up with new ideas, new activities for down the road. I don't know when we'll do our next party, but we'll try and create something that would be memorable, and we will all have a good time doing it. So,
absolutely.
Coming up. All right, let's take a break and come back in a second. We got a guest who's going to be joining us in the studio in a little bit, from what I understand. So stay put. We'll be back shortly.
WMMR. We're not just in your car anymore. Ask Alexa to open MMR, and we'll come streaming right into your house. And we promise, we're not listening to you doing stuff that often.
Our next guest is in the studio, and it looks like Dr. Arst almost blew himself up. he is in to talk about many things, including starring as Grandpa Munster in the Rob Zombie film, The Munsters, our friend. Please welcome Mr. Oh, wait, music, please. Yes. Mr. Daniel Roebuck is here today. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Dude, I'm doing better than I was a few days ago. You want to know how this happened?
Yes. All right, let me explain. So Dan came in, and I'm like, hey, you look great. And he goes, yeah, well, did you see what happened to me? And I looked a little bit closer, and he's got bumps and scars and scabs on his forehead. Horrible. What happened?
Okay. I'm an idiot. No, I'm an idiot. So I was doing a movie called I Can in Louisville, Kentucky.
Right.
A lovely movie about a young lady who was born with a short left arm who was a champion softball player.
Okay.
And I was on a high, and then I was going to go drive to see my brother in Wilmington. And on the way, I realized was... you know, Dillsboro, North Carolina, where we crashed the train in The Fugitive.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Wow. And the train is still there. Like the the bus, they're still next to the track. So I knew this. And there's this Great Smoky Mountain Railroad, and I was going to take the train past the train. And they said, no, they don't. They said they don't run that train until next week. So I decided to go to the site myself. Now, when we shot the movie, there were steps leading from it's in a basin, steps leading from the top to the bottom. They're gone. You go online. There's a lot of videos about how to break in. Well, I did that. And then
you broke into the site?
I did. I did. But if people go on my social media, they will see I did those people the biggest favor, because I say it's treacherous. You got to be careful. It's treacherous. And then I literally fell 9 feet onto my face.
Oh.
9 feet. So the rest of the video is like, don't come here. Don't do this. You can see there's blood like all my over. Goodness.
Were you by yourself?
Yes, which is even stupider. So when I thought, my beautiful wife Tammy, it would have been about 3-4 hours before she thought, how come he hasn't called? and then I don't know that she would have figured out to call the police, and then how would they have found? I mean, I fell in the bush, no one would have found me.
Oh my goodness.
So I didn't realize that they had kept is that kind of a obviously sort of an off the grid thing for people to go see the train and the bus?
Well, if you know where it is, you could find it. There's people who suss out all this stuff.
Right. I would be one of those people. Yeah. I love to visit
stuff for locations. Movies.
Yeah.
And it's even better to visit, like, I was there 29 years ago. Like, that's a huge part of my personal life.
Yeah.
And then... you know, what if I died there?
Yeah, right. I went to Lake Winnipesaukee on vacation because of What About Bob. And every morning I got up, like, early in the morning, and I had my morning cup of coffee on the deck overlooking the lake. And then I would post one of my favorite scenes from What About Bob. And it wasn't until my last day of vacation that I found out that What About Bob was filmed in Virginia.
Yeah,
I was thinking about what you said, Dan, though, but imagine how the reports would have been in a tragic turn of irony.
Right. No, I would have been right up there within the books, famous Hollywood deaths.
Yes.
No, because if I had landed on a rock, that would have been that.
It would have, the story or the subtext, because you would not have left a note, obviously.
No, nobody would have,
So some people, why was he there? What did this mean to him?
Yeah, no, he killed himself on purpose.
Yeah.
I know there's a million things we want to talk to you about, and we've talked to you about The Fugitive many times in the past. Yeah. It might be my favorite movie of all time. Oh, it's probably the one I've seen the most. And I'm curious as to what your perspective was on that scene in particular, the filming of the train crash.
All practical.
The bus.
Yeah, practical effects.
Yeah. So the worst case scenario, you guys, you think I'm stupid now. I was equally stupid 29 years ago because they woke us all up at 4 o'clock in the morning, put us on a bus, and drove us to see the wreck.
Right.
And then they didn't wreck it the first night.
Oh.
And there was a problem. So the next night, when they called us all, every actor said, I'll see it in the movie. None of us went to see it.
Whoa.
So I could have seen it live, but instead I had to see it in a movie theater.
Wow. So did they literally ran it down the tracks? And
yeah, they reconfigured the tracks so that a train was pushing a fake train into a fake bus, all made of fiberglass. I mean, that's all. There's a video playing.
Yeah.
It's all fake. There's only two minor shots in this movie that are, I think it's two shots that are miniatures.
Wow. You know, it's funny because I love practical, listen, they can do a tremendous amount of stuff with CGI and it's amazing what they can pull off. But practical effects, I was in the remake of Night of the Living Dead. I was one of the flesh eating zombies, nice. A little thing. You know,
Tom Savini
yeah. directed,
oh,
right?
Oh, great.
So it was shot out here. And this was
years
ago.
You were a dead golfer, weren't you?
I was a dead golfer. Yeah. And I got one of the guys, well, the few guys who ate flesh in the movie, but there was a scene literally where they had us walking away from the vehicle, you know, as it detonates again. And it's like, you can't look because, you know, and you can't react because you're supposed to be dead. But it's, you know, when a practical effect, that thing was across a field. And when it went up, that heat, you could feel it like nobody's business. So this thing, the train wreck, had to be crazy.
It had to be crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Then they used a thing called IntraVision. Now they have all of this new way that they, you know, they shoot Mandalorian. But then there was a way of combining Harrison with the...
Right.
With the footage anyway.
Like composite stuff. Yeah. It's cool. But you're doing your own directing. And right, and you're doing a lot of stuff. We talk about in the Lehigh Valley, and you have a number of films that you've just worked on. We'll get to the Munsters as well. But what do you have coming out?
Well, we've got. I hope to get Lucky Louie, the film we made, the film that we call it our redheaded stepchild film. I feel so bad about it. No offense to my producer Beth Cosby, who's red and has redheaded children. We're gonna make the Hail Mary, but then this thing called COVID happened. I don't know if you guys ever heard or talk about that. So then we made this other movie, and the movie was, it's just great. It's a great mystery that I wrote and directed with my daughter, Grace Roebuck, which was terrific. So that should be out later this year. We're nearly done. And then the Hail Mary should be out. I would hope around. We're trying to aim for around the Super Bowl next year.
Really?
Yeah, and out in theaters and then on all media platforms. But we just took Getting Grace back into theaters. Like, I'm realizing that... I'm, you know, as a D-list celebrity, people, by the way, in the Munsters, that's what people keep saying. This D-list celebrity, this actor who thinks he can replace Al Lewis. And I'm like, what is he? You're a good actor.
I'd say when we heard it mentioned, by the way, you have a list of very impressive film credits.
Absolutely.
So knock off that D-list stuff.
Yeah.
And I think Al Lewis at the time had done Gar 54 with Fred
Green. Right, he had like...
It was like one credit. Yeah, so stop it.
I know, it's weird. It's so funny because they put a thing then on Mayberry. I was saying on the way down here, on the Mayberry Days thing, because I went to Mount Airy where Andy Griffith was born, all the people who love Matlock say, this guy's such a great actor. This guy played Jay Leno. This guy played Gary. What a great actor. And then you go to the Munsters, and they're like, this guy's not worthy of carrying Al Lewis's cigars. You know.
That sucks. Yeah,
it sucks. It's weird. Al Lewis. You know, I knew Al Lewis. And
he had a restaurant, a great Italian restaurant, and he'd sometimes be there.
He'd be there in the cowboy hat. His wife spent some time, I think her mother was from the Lehigh Valley. His wife, Karen, wrote a great book called I Married a Munster, which you can find everywhere. Yeah. And Karen said, Al, she said, Dan, Al would have said, it's yours now, run with it.
Yeah.
And I think, if the ghost of Al Lewis is fine, why is everyone else mad?
No, that's it. You step into an iconic, listen.
Yeah.
In the hands of Rob Zombie, who is a Munsters savant, he is not going to play light and fast with this casting. The question I do have is, we did see the teaser trailer release, which is a loving recreation of the opening credits of the show.
It's faithful. Right. It's right so to it.
Yeah. Does that portend a real nuts and bolts where we're doing the Munsters the way you love it?
Yeah. I think that this is what I realized. Like, let's first saying to all you guys on the internet who are trolls, and I actually, a friend of mine, I had to call yesterday and say, stop saying bad stuff about the movie. He goes, well, I say nice stuff about you. I'm like, are you, what's the matter with you?
Right.
You know, and he said, I'm just a troll. But there's the deal. If he didn't do the opening credits like he did it, and that this is not, I'm not even saying that's the opening credits. I'm just saying,
right.
If he didn't do that, people would have said, he's a jerk. He's doing it his own way. But he did it like that. And other people say, he's a jerk. He's just doing it the way it was. But the movie is going to be the best Munsters movie made without the original cast.
Right.
And that's respectful to all the other actors who play these parts. But
and so that does matter. And the Munsters, you remember Munster Go Home?
Yeah.
And there were a couple other movies.
And the Munsters Revenge, they had the original cast.
And then they had other casts. And I would have had issue with some of the cast. I look at this collection, I look at you in the roles, and I'm like, that all works for me. Also, again, knowing that Rob Zombie, I mean the minutiae that he knows about the series. Like, he lives and breathes it. I think that's going to be really good in the long run.
Yeah.
I saw some of the casting, and this looks really interesting. Your Lost co-host, or I'm not co-host, but co-worker, co-star, whatever you want to call it, Jorge Garcia, Hurley from Lost, is in the film as well.
Yeah. Rob said, is there anybody you know who loves monster movies like we do? And I knew Jorge did. Jorge was very gracious to narrate a documentary I did about monster collecting. So
yeah, you're into the same loony stuff I'm into.
I'm into the same stuff. So he came to do it. I got to tell you guys, Sherry Moon Zombie is going to be so delightful as Lily. Well, it'll all make sense. That's what I'm saying. Like, okay. Rob's such a genius savant. When you see it, you'll be like, of course. So, and Jeff Daniel Phillips is going to be great. But then he has Sylvester McCoy and Catherine Schell from, like, you know, Space 1999 and Pink Panther movies. Like, he brought these
She used to be married to Martin Landau, right? Is that her? No, she played the shapeshifter.
Right, the other one was married to Barbara Bain.
Barbara Bain, yeah.
You know, he surrounded us with these amazing people. And the pictures, they put out pictures yesterday or 2 days ago. You could see how great the makeup is.
Yeah. Oh my God. And then the house is recreated?
The house is exactly the same.
The Munster Mobile?
The house is exactly the same. you almost got me. You were so close.
I just threw it in there.
Stuff that I can't say.
A lot of people don't remember that Grandpa had a hot rod as well.
Yeah, the dragster.
Yeah.
Dragula.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of cool cars in the series, a lot of great characters.
Now, obviously you want to be a little tight-lipped about the plot and what's going to happen, but I am curious, if you can't answer this, that's fine. Not unlike the Brady Bunch movies, where they brought this group trapped in a certain time bubble and had them in current day. Is that kind of what the Munsters will be? Are they going to be in current day America?
The house looks
all right. That's what I thought.
So Rob has an aesthetic.
Yeah.
That is his own vision, just like Tim Burton.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rob was an art director. So that's why everything in his movies is so colorful and so there's so many layers and layers and layers of imagery.
He does. Everything is very lush and ornate, and everything looks really pops. What a couple of quick questions, and if you can't answer, just tell us how good the house looks. The thing they used to go to, which cracked me up, I remember as a kid, and even as an adult, Preston, you know, when they would speed up when someone would see Herman, and they would
they would take off.
Can you tell us if there's anything like
everything everything that could fit into our movie is
all
there.
Right, all right.
Everything that could fit into our movie is there. I mean, the fun of the Munsters being fish out of water is fun.
That's it. That's
and,
all.
And you mentioned, you know, Rob using vivid colors. Well, the Munsters was a black and white television show. They did do a movie that was in had some color to it. It's okay. But I was, so this is going to be in color. It says in now,
living, yeah, now in living color.
And I was surprised to see Grandpa that you, I knew that, you know, that, that Herman was green.
Yes.
But I didn't know that Grandpa had this like bluish tint. I assume that's to be like no blood kind of corpse-ish, right?
Yeah. I mean, Rob was very clear on the colors.
Right.
And, when you see, there's so much conjecture, like, Grandpa's makeup changed drastically from episode to episode. If you think of the first year of the Munsters, he had a fake nose and he didn't have a fake nose.
Yeah, that's right. Then, and Herman's, yeah,
Herman's makeup changed too. Yeah. They changed how they painted it. Rob wanted us to be, I think, vivid.
Yeah.
You know, and so you see Grandpa has bluish gray makeup. And I loved when they put the makeup on. I mean, you know that I love that.
The funniest thing to me, and I know this is what's going to be recreated because it's I've read interviews with Rob, and he keys on the same things that we all love. This family that is this collection of monsters, but is he works at the funeral parlor. He's got, you know, this lunch pail. They have their stuff that all connects to our world, but skewed to the prism of their monster world.
Right.
And that's what I think is so great about it. The series only lasted 2 years.
Killed by Batman.
Yeah. Daniel, you're a director. You've worked with a lot of different directors over the years. It would seem to me that Rob Zombie is a very artistically driven director. Like, he has a vision for something, but he comes from an artist's background. Is that an accurate
description? Oh, I think so. I think so. If people knew, like, how smart he was when it comes to presentational things. If you go to his concert, you'll have a great idea of it. Like, it's not, not watching, it's not like, watching Neil Diamond stand and sing. There's videos and monsters dancing and everything. He is an actor's director. You know, people say that. What does that mean? That means that he's a director with a great ear, and he listens to the actor, doesn't interfere a lot unless he, you're not giving it. But the other thing that's weird is what people, they push back on, the fact that he uses the same people again and again. I use the same people again.
So does Scorsese, Christ's sake.
Yeah. And it's like, why does he always cast his wife? Mia Farrow was in every Woody Allen movie at the same time he was dating her daughter.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
And Rob's never once asked about Grace Robart. Thank God.
That's true. Hey, by the way, you've been in the business for a long time, but did you seek him out when you were directing for some...
Did he come out?
Did you seek him out for some advice?
I did. Well, I did, and he was very entertained by... he goes, only you could take the cancer movie on the road. Getting Grace on the road.
Right.
He's been very supportive of that aspect of my life. And seek him out, but the other thing you do is you lean on, like leaning on Andy Davis, you said how you love The Fugitive. You lean on what you've learned from the guys. And you guys maybe did that in the radio.
Absolutely. In fact, we work with Pierre Robert Mendes, who's a guy we took a lot of... examples from, about how you interact with listeners and how you celebrate the people who listen and all that stuff. That comes from Pierre in large part.
Oh, nice that you credit that. I would credit a lot of stuff to different directors that I've worked with. To Rob, he's taught me this, most importantly, that you have to look at the whole frame.
Right.
And make sure everything, because you can't just look at the actors, because if somebody's eye is taken away from them by something in the background that's not, intermingled with them but acting against them. He's just a great artist.
Let me ask you, since you're doing a lot around the Lehigh Valley area and you're doing these movies, because everyone's looking to break into the business at some level. Are people coming out to audition for you?
I hope so. Listen, I invite people to go to achannelofpeace.org, achannelofpeace.org. Channel 6 here in Philly did a great, lovely piece about what we really do bring to the Valley. Beyond bringing the movies,
yeah.
I cast out of the Valley, and we crew out of the Valley, and then we intern kids out of the Valley. So it's important to me, because I had to get up, move, go away to become an actor.
Right.
But I've given, I try not to say I. That's,
yeah.
It's bad when you're a movie maker. We've given
right.
Great opportunities to people. And I'm, you know, my wife, Tammy, who's my producing partner, and our organization, you know, it's important to us. And we found people like, I'm traveling today with Beth Klausnitz. Like we have all these people who help us make the movie. So when the movie says a Daniel Roebuck film, it's like the first lie of the movie.
It's going to blow you away. Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to ask you on another note too, because I played Jedi Fallen Order.
Yes.
Which is the video game, and you voice a character in it.
Yes.
And when you originally said you were doing it, I'm like, okay, I didn't realize it was a full-throated, fully-backed Star Wars game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, really well done, really good gameplay, and you've worked on the sequel, correct?
The Munster's House is a loving recreation.
All right, I'll take that as a yes.
Do you know, I was, in yeah. the old days, you could just talk about stuff.
Yeah.
And now they're like, they put out a great trailer for the sequel, and I unfortunately didn't see my character in it.
Well, let me ask you then, if you're tied in, I don't know, there seems to be a bit of crossover, you know, like with, you mentioned The Mandalorian and Jon Favreau's stuff and how they took from the animated series and some of the books and so on and so forth. Is there any opportunity for you into that realm?
I would, you know, I would hope so.
Yeah.
But it would have to be, like, they'd have to, because I'm out of scale with the other actors, and because the Lateran that I play is 4 foot tall and has four arms, they would still have me interacting.
He's a good pilot, though, right?
He's a great pilot. Yeah. And it's a great character, and I hope that I am in the sequel.
All right.
I hope I am.
All right. Awesome, awesome. Yeah, is it wild to see yourself when, because we've had a number of actors, you know, Kiefer Sutherland and other people have all done voiced characters in video games, but they all say sort of the same thing. It's wonderful and also really demanding.
Now that's funny. See, it's because we just don't do, like in Jedi Fallen Order, we didn't just do the voice.
You motion captured?
We performance captured. So it's like shooting a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Except they're not making you up every 4 seconds. But it's rehearsal. It's character.
Did you have they've had ones with the uniforms with the dots on it. Now they have ones that are geometric shapes.
Yeah, the last one I did was dots, but they don't put the dots on the face now. The technology, this is what's freaking me out. But we were talking about, like, how you take a picture and they make it look like a painting.
Right.
Like, the technology of what a computer recognizes and sees is so extraordinary that they had to put the dots so that when your eyebrow went up, your eyebrow went up.
Right.
But now they do a ROM on you where you just go bee, bye, bye, boo, bye.
Yeah.
Like it's a weird, it's kind of like that scene in AI where she has to say the words
in order.
And then the kid falls in love.
Yeah.
You sit down and you just say all these words looking into the camera that's attached to your face, and somehow the computer, like,
it'll get all the movements.
Yeah, it figures it all out.
It's got to be freaky as hell to see yourself knowing you've imbued this character that is a wholly other life form.
Yeah, a whole other being.
Right.
I think it's fun, though, when you see it, you see, like, you see me, but it's me doing, like, Ernie Borgnine. Hey, come on, what's going on?
Was that who you modeled it on?
That's who I modeled it on.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is he basically Mikhail, then?
Well, that's funny, because he's the captain of the ship.
Yeah.
There's a God moment. I don't believe in coincidence. Yeah. I call these proof of God moments, where, you know, I read the character. I didn't know he was 4 foot tall, and I didn't know he had four arms. But I did know, like, the writers did such a good job in insinuating that he was like that guy, that Ernie Borgnine guy. So that's what I did in the audition. And then years later, I'm reading one of the books, and one of the creators said, you know, we modeled him on Ernie Borgnine.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, what is that thing that you have as an actor? Well, I can't claim it.
Right.
That was obviously divine intervention to make sure that I got the part.
Yeah, that you pegged it. That's very cool. That's very cool.
Nice. That's neat. You guys are great. Thank you for always having
our
me.
Our pleasure, man. No, it's cool. We're excited that this is coming out finally because we've been hearing about it for a long time. No date on when this will be released.
Well, the Munsters, it says in the trailer, coming in 2022.
Okay.
So that gives us only six more months.
Yeah.
What's great about Rob, too, is
Halloween, right?
Yeah, that's would on. Halloween.
How does the house look?
You know, no, Halloween time would be great. But he's, you know, he likes to dole the information out.
Right.
Because he knows that it creates a buzz. Mm-hmm. You know, and he said that once. If I would say, we're doing the Munsters, here's the people starring in it, then everybody would write one article. But the way he does it, they write an article every day.
Right.
Next time you speak with him, let him know that we're still very interested in the Broad Street Bullies movie that he had to shelve at one point.
I know. I think he'd love to make that. Has he ever been on the show?
Yes. Yeah. He's great.
Yep. Great guy.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, so entertaining.
Super talented. And, he was talking about he was into the pre-production on the Broad Street Bullies movie.
Yep.
And we were leveled when we found out it was off the table, you know, because that would be a great movie.
It's just so, it's just so getting one movie, you know, I immediately was like, what about the sequel? He was like, "I'll kill you. Let me finish this one."
Well, now you're basically the Orson Welles of all these films, of the writing and directing and everything. So you have, coming from an actor's perspective, and now seeing how all that it takes to get these things done and released. Yeah. Did you always have the appreciation, or did you earn your appreciation?
No, because I came up, like, my first movie was this thing called Cave Girls.
Right.
And that was...
That's what you won the Oscar for.
Yeah, I won the Oscar. I remember they thought it was going to the guy who played Gandhi. And was he surprised when they mentioned
really?
Mine? I think he actually said an expletive that they bleeped out because he was the front runner.
Says, how do they give it to Cave Girl?
Yeah. He goes, these people are... but I grew up, like, in independent movies, Cave Girl, River's Edge, you know what I mean? Like, I started in the independent, and I always knew how hard it was to get the hook.
Yeah.
Now I'm learning. What I've really learned is, you know, movie distributors have a bit of a reputation.
No, a slimy one.
Yeah. And they...
Hanky.
So we've heard so many...
Yeah, hanky.
Made up word, man. Don't use made up words.
That's for The Fugitive, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
But how many projects walk all the way up to almost getting full on, we're doing it, and then just crumble and fall apart and never to be seen again.
Well, there are movies that actually are finished and ready to go that sit on the shelf, and then they suddenly, you know, release them because they have to fill. But with all the big content demand now.
Yeah, I've also realized that the movies I'm making are really fulfilling a very particular thing that people... don't, like I'm saying, the movies we make through a channel of peace. They want a movie you could watch with your family. And my faith-based movies aren't like, Jesus.
Yeah.
My movies are entertainment. And it's I always say, they're not even Jesus movies. You know, you bring me a good
script
on a Muslim script or a Jewish script, I'll make that. I don't really care.
You know, it's a perfect example? The movie Coda.
Oh, terrific.
Coda is an uplifting movie. That it just rocks, and it's got all those things, and it's okay to make movies like that.
Yeah. And I was surprised. Where was that kid's Oscar?
I know. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, she was phenomenal. Oscar. Absolutely. There were a lot of people who could have gotten that. Well, listen, I want to hit your website again, achannelofpeace.org.
That's correct. Thank you for
that. No problem. And so if you're an actor in the area and are looking for, you know, something, a project to be a part of, then definitely take a look at achannelofpeace.org. So Munsters will be next, and then we'll keep an eye out for Lucky Louie and the Hail Mary.
Yes, sir.
Okay, excellent. Well, it's so great to see you,
Dan. All right, thank you, guys. And, you guys, everybody, and Kathy, we're going back to Lehigh Valley. How's that? God bless. Can I just ask one question? Do people call you on weekends and say, honey, we're going to the beach. Which way should we go?
Well, because I can look at it on my phone.
Oh, that's funny.
So people, yeah, my friends will call and say, what is happening right now? Why am I sitting in this?
Oh, my God. Daniel was looking at your screen when you were doing it.
I was trying to figure out, what does she know that we don't know? Well, it turns out Kathy knows everything.
Nice.
Thank you, guys.
Great to see you. Thank you so much. All right.
Yeah.
Get a robot, guys. Yeah. Munster sometime this year. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a minute. Hang out with us. Hey, gang. Time's running out to sign up for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive. It's happening on the 24th at two convenient locations. The Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks and the Event Center inside Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia. All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and on-site refreshments, including Everfresh juice, plus a reusable tote bag from our friends at Window Nation. And for the first time, we'll be doing our show live from Oaks while Brent, Jackie, and Sarah will check in live from Live Casino. As for Pierre, he'll be somewhere, we're sure. Oh, dear. Yeah, I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive, benefiting the American Red Cross. Make your appointment at WMMR.com now.
Sponsored by Recovery Centers of America. For addiction and mental health treatment, call 1-800-RECOVERY.
From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first. I'm still trying to catch up on shard outs. Real quick, this one is... this one is supposed to be for, I think, the 8th, and it's just Steve. Or no, who the hell is this from? It doesn't even say who's
from. Is it for me?
No, it's not for you.
Oh.
It's, all right, it says, good evening, Preston. Today is the 8th. It's me and my wife's 26th wedding anniversary. We are big fans of the show, and I was wondering if we can give her a juicy shout out. Preston and Steve Show rocks. Doesn't sign his name. It's DW.
P.S. I'm standing behind you right now.
GWFC, and then that's part
okay.
of it. Okay, there's Charlotte, up, mystery person. Happy anniversary. That's for all the anniversary
celebrations. It comes from HTP.
Oh, this one I need to mention because it's from Ann Gorski.
Oh,
okay. So Ann said, I wanted to send a shout out to Sally Loffel. I met Sally in line at the Keenan's broadcast and got to chatting with her. And I learned that she's a first grade teacher in the Abington School District at Copper Beach Elementary School who would be retiring in a few weeks. Very sweet woman. And then we got lost in the crowds and I never saw her again. A little while later, though, my good friend Corey, who knew that I was there, told me that her kid's teacher is at Keenan's, too. And that she's the best teacher they'd had, that they've ever had, and happens to be retiring this year. And it was her. It was Sally. Her last day teaching is Wednesday, June 16th. So it was yesterday. On behalf of Corey, her kids, Danny and Josie, and all of her students, past and present from Copper Beach, please send Sally heartfelt shardy retirement wishes. May the Gorski with you, Sally. And that's from Ann. So there you go.
There you go.
Congratulations on your retirement. And hope you...
do you remember your kindergarten teacher?
Mrs. Oberman, yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Mrs. Niccolo.
Miss Quinlan.
Yeah. You?
Miss Cross. Mrs. Cross, who was going through, I think, early onset dementia.
Uh-huh.
But she was adorable and wonderful. But, you know, she had my traumatizing moment in kindergarten was we were out looking at the environment. It was part of the thing. So we went out to this field across the from where the school was, and I had to go pee-pee really badly. And they had a bathroom right in the class. You know, you could go right in the class. And she goes, oh, run back. She locked the door to the bathroom.
Oh, no!
And I made pee-pees in my pants. Everyone laughed.
Everybody laughed at you?
Laughed at
me. Dude, I'm so sorry to hear that.
And then my mother brought me pants to school, and I said, bitch, I've been waiting. No.
I feel so sorry for you. I'm sorry to hear that. Because moments like that, and listen, this might be a conversation for another time because we're going to have a bizarre file, still affect me.
They resonate.
It's like in Inside Out. The core memories.
Core memories.
Yeah.
It's just something, it hits so deeply in your psyche that it's there for good. And it's tangible. Like, you can feel it.
My dad's 94, and he recorded a journal, you know, of his life. So when my dad was in elementary school, it was 1932, you know, he recounts a story of Valentine's Day cards being handed out and this one girl who didn't get one and started crying. Over the course of his lifetime, he's never forgotten that and how sad it made him feel and how he tried to make her feel better.
Yeah.
So those moments do resonate.
Absolutely. Yeah. By the way, I think I can name, because you asked our kindergarten teacher's name, I think I can remember every grade school homeroom teacher that I had.
Oh, I can remember all of my teachers.
Yeah. Well, see,
from kindergarten through senior year of high school.
Yeah, but see, by the time I got to senior, by the time I got to high school, I had like eight different teachers per year.
Yeah.
I don't remember every single one of them.
And also, I had multiple schools, Preston, because they kept resetting the district I was in.
Yeah.
So I kept going to different schools. I was the new kid in town, Eagles.
But yeah, that's part of why we do the coolest teachers.
Yeah,
it resonates.
I skip years. Like I can't remember. I remember kindergarten. Don't remember first and second, and then I remember third through fifth.
Miss Emilio was my second. I had two teachers in third because we were out in California for a little while. And Mr. Kryshek never used underarm deodorant. And fifth, Mr. Harris always had the best. We'd field trips. So Mr. Harris loved to take kids on field trips.
There were a few teachers. And
Mr. Pilling ate tuna with his fingers in sixth grade.
It's a real shame.
Yeah.
There are teachers, I'm curious as to whether or not they're still with us. You know, I don't know any other way to find out. I mean, because you can search for them, but I don't know if there's obituaries or whatever. And now I don't want to list their names for fear of them having passed.
What I remember about my kindergarten teacher was that I think I told you guys this not that long ago. I don't remember why we were talking about it, but she had the alphabet above, on the wall, right at the ceiling. And so each day we would go through a different letter and she would bring something in to represent the letter. And when we got to W, she brought her waffle maker in. She made waffles for all of us.
That's pretty awesome.
Right? That's awesome.
That's what I remember about my kindergarten
teacher.
That's
a badass.
Well, you had waffles and I was pissing myself.
Yeah.
I know. Aww.
But we all have our own kindergarten experiences. Yeah. So I never got to play with the fire truck. Ever. In kindergarten.
And your wife got you one.
She bought me that for Christmas I think I was in my 40s. And it was one of the greatest Christmas gifts I ever got. So, all right. We have to do the Bizarre Files. Let's do it now.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it is brought to you this morning. Damn it. There we go. Brought to you by Horizon Services. I was trying to be smooth about that. I couldn't straighten this out. Get an AC tune-up for $79 and up to a pound of refrigerant for free at HorizonEasyBook.com. This is kind of funny. Although people got hurt. 25 people have been treated for burns in northern Switzerland because they walked across hot coals as part of a team-building exercise.
Oh, come on.
The old hot coal walking.
Yeah, so this happened.
Did they walk too slowly?
This happened in Switzerland. They walked across hot coals as part of a team-building exercise. 13 of them were taken to the hospital and treated for more severe injuries after the incident. A large emergency response, including 10 ambulances, arrived at the private event.
Don't you guys feel closer now?
The group walked over a bed of coals that was several meters in length and felt pain shortly after. It's not clear if there was an issue with the setup of the coals or how the group walked across them. Officials have opened an investigation and taken evidence from the site.
We found out Preston did a little investigating. It was a quarter mile long.
It doesn't take much. When I was, I think, about 16 years old, I was a lifeguard. And so I spent the entire summer walking on pavement, right? On some
hot pavement.
So, no, but as a result, the bottoms of my feet were really like hard.
Okay.
So I thought I could put a cigarette out with my bare foot.
Oh my God.
It was dumb.
Turns out no.
Turns out no. Turns out you get second degree burns.
Fun fact.
And so walking across a bed of hot coals, often known as firewalking, is sometimes used in motivational courses and charity events, and it backfired on these.
There's a set distance it should be. There's a set way to do it. It's on the lines of like a parlor trick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's a local story, which I found quite interesting. Philadelphia police are searching for a man who they say stole a military prototype bicycle. Okay, so it's a bicycle worth $100,000.
What?
On Saturday, an unidentified man broke through the back door glass window at Christini All-Wheel Drive Bicycle, which is on North 2nd Street. The man then stole a $100,000 military 1996 prototype bike and fled the area. I guess since it's a prototype, it has some kind of collectible value to it.
Ring the bell.
Up my butt.
Wait, what?
Okay. The suspect was captured on surveillance video. Police described him as a bald black male and with a beard and medium build, wearing a dark hooded sweatshirt, blue jeans, and dark shoes. And if you see him, they say don't approach. Instead, call 911 immediately. But
We're looking at the picture, the video of this bicycle, and I don't know what possibly could bring it up to...
I don't know.
Again, maybe the prototype aspect. I can see if there's like a howitzer mounted on it or something.
That would warrant $100,000.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, it might not look like it at first glance, but a headstone on the Warren Powers Cemetery in Polk County has a hidden message. So this is what it says. This is Lindsay Owen is the daughter of late Stephen Owens, and says that the headstone states, "Forever in our hearts, until we meet again, cherished memories known as our brother, father, papa, uncle, friend, and cousin." Now, if you pay special attention to the headstone, you'll notice that the first letter of each phrase reads F off.
Is that on purpose?
It's something that Stephen Owens' family members say that he often said jokingly.
Yeah.
Lindsay said it was definitely his term of endearment. If he didn't like you, he didn't speak to you. It's just who he was. He's easily riled up. It was always a goal of some sort to have him tell you to do this. So Stephen's family said, so they would get at him. They would poke at him to get him to say it to him. Stephen's family said that the epitaph is something his family did as a harmless way to remember him. But it has now been called into question by the cemetery. Cemetery staff say that they've been against the headstone from the beginning. They noticed it right away.
Okay, yeah. How could you not? Because the way it's laid out, it spells it vertically.
Yeah, so if they said that the profanity has no place where loved ones are laid to rest.
I think if that's what you want... it's not like it just says F off blatantly.
Stephen Owens' family is hoping that they don't have to get rid of the headstone. While some may find it offensive, the family says that it wasn't their intention, and they hope that others can find the humor in it.
I think you your final wishes should be, unless it causes harm to someone else.
Yeah.
I understand, sensitivities.
Well, I would also imagine, though, that before you, purchase a plot, that there are some rules that a cemetery may have.
What they should sell, Preston, it'd be a great item, is just sell, like, stone, granite, whatever they're made out of two hands coming up, flipping the bird
coming
from the ground.
Out of the ground.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great. So here's a story in India. In love with each other, but both married to different persons, this couple wanted to live together. But societal obligation came in the way. They, much like Bollywood, hero and heroine decided to die together.
Oh, man.
So the date and venue to jump into the river Yamuna together was also fixed. But the twist came at the last moment. While the woman took the plunge, the man decided not to give up his life. Shocked at her paramour's betrayal, the woman, who knew how to swim, swam out of the river. And with no more love between them, the 32-year-old woman, a mother of a 6-year-old daughter, has now lodged a suit against him.
You son of a bitch.
His name is Chandu. So an investigation into the incident is on. According to the reports, the woman was in a relationship with Chandu for many years. Some months back, she went to Pune, which I think is Comanche Indian.
Yes.
Her 6-year-old daughter. In her absence, Chandu got married without informing the woman. Mm-hmm. When the woman returned back, they fought over the issue. Chandu then promised to marry her after divorcing his wife. However, he was reluctant. After many fights over the issue, they finally decided to die by suicide. So they met on the New Yuma Bridge. And as per the woman, she jumped into the river first, but Chandu did not follow her. The woman then swam back to the riverbank somehow, and police reached the spot and admitted the woman to the hospital. So she had reported this now.
I didn't know you could swim.
Right, yeah. Sorry, I didn't know she could swim. So, yeah, there's that. And then finally, we'll end, or should I save that one for tomorrow?
Save it for tomorrow.
I think I'll save it for tomorrow. We got a wrap here. Yeah. I'll do a very, very short one. State troopers came across an unlikely vehicle on a southern Indiana interstate. It was an electric Walmart cart on the interstate. Okay.
Now, those do get up to like 70 miles an hour, don't they?
Yeah, they can move with traffic. So, but according to Facebook, Senior Trooper Rob Caudill Came across a man riding an electronic cart while pushing a construction barrel around 5 a.m., and it was on I-265. The man was taken to Louisville, Kentucky for pending charges while the cart was recovered and returned to Walmart. Officials remind you that unauthorized vehicles like electric carts are not allowed on the interstate. Plus, slower vehicles should use the right hand lane.
Now, it's not an interstate, but you guys know that Chuck D'Amico drove his riding lawnmower home from Lowe's a few weeks ago.
Why not? After he purchased it?
After he purchased it.
How far?
Over a mile.
Yeah. Okay. I would love to have seen that.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back in a second and see how you're doing with the lesson question. And if you've been paying attention or not, we'll come back in just a moment. Make sure that you stay with us because we will be right back.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Coming to the end of the program, we still got a little ways to go before we wrap for the day, including a chance for you to win something for free right now with a lesson question. We have a float experience from Halcyon Floats that we are going to give away for the correct answer to this question. And Nick brought me several really good questions today.
Uh-huh.
I'm having a hard time deciding which one I want to go with.
You should read them all, the ones that you don't ask, because they're good.
Yeah, I will have to do that. How about this? What is Charlie Sheen's surfboard made out of? 215-263-WMMR. It is not made of mercury.
Okay.
It's another thing. What is Charlie Sheen's surfboard made out of? Let's see if you know. 215-263-WMMR. We'll do the trash while you call.
The trash business is a gold mine. 93.3
WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Halcyon Floats. You can give Dad the ultimate gift of relaxation this Father's Day with a float from Halcyon Floats, Philadelphia's premier float center. Relax, recover, reset, halcyonfloats.com. Steve, what's going on this morning?
Well, Amber Heard says that despite all she's been through, she still has strong feelings for Johnny Depp. Heard told Savannah Guthrie that, quote, "You don't just stop loving a man you shared a bed with and then crapped in that bed."
Hey!
Britney Spears has fired her entire security team after they allowed her ex-husband to crash her wedding and gain access to the inside of her home. Spears says someone has to be the adult in the room, so she's buying a gorilla.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Taron Egerton and Jonathan Bailey took time to recount stories of working together in the critically acclaimed West End production of the play Cock. Yes, that's the title. Bailey revealed a mishap one night during a performance in which he went through the wrong door and ended up in Butthole.
Oh, my God.
That's your Hollywood trash.
Okay.
Yep.
The doors will look the same, Bastion.
I know, yes. And one should have a chicken on it because that's okay. Lesson question is, what is Charlie Sheen's surfboard made out of? 215-263-WMMR. We're going to go to Jeff for the answer. Hey there, Jeff.
Gadzooks.
All right, Jeff, what is Charlie Sheen's surfboard made out of?
That would be an AIDS surfboard.
AIDS, yes. Hang on a second. Jeff, you got it right. We're going to give you a float experience from Halcyon Floats. We were just mentioning that. You can give Dad the ultimate gift of relaxation this Father's Day with a float from Halcyon Floats, Philadelphia's premier float center. Relax, recover, reset. HalcyonFloats.com. Okay, so the other ones were, what is Preston's newest character? And that's the Forgetterer. What is the alien's sleep number?
Splorf?
Splorf.
I was hoping that would be the one.
What airline does Casey normally fly? Fart Airlines.
Oh, yeah.
I should know that.
And then Southwest is a low-cost airline. Frontier is ultra-low cost. Which airline is by far the cheapest way to travel? Circus Canada Airlines. So those
all right,
are all.
3, 2, 1. There you go.
All right, music news. Here we go.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Brought to you by Jersey Mike's. And Jersey Mike's is the only place that you can get your sub Mike's way, because authentic ingredients make all the difference. Be a sub above. I teased this earlier this morning, but Foo Fighters have rolled out most of the artists set to perform at the Taylor Hawkins tribute concert set for London's Wembley Stadium.
It's kind of spectacular.
September 3rd and Los Angeles at the Forum on September 27th. And tickets for both concerts will go on sale Friday, tomorrow, at 9 a.m. local time via the Foo Fighters website.
And you hinted you might be trying to go to one of these shows?
Might be going to the London show.
Wow.
And see about that. Some friends had mentioned it, and it seems a little more viable than I had thought on first suggestion. So we'll see.
It'll be amazing.
When is that one?
It is September 3rd. It's over Labor Day weekend. So, yeah, that can work. So the Wembley Stadium tribute will feature Queen's Brian May and Roger Taylor, Rush's Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson.
Well, there you go.
Stuart Copeland. So there's three of my favorite people right there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back to Brian May, four. And Roger Taylor's great,
yeah,
too. Wolfgang Van Halen, Liam Gallagher, Josh Homme, Mark Ronson, Rufus Taylor, Omar Hakim. Omar Hakim is a great drummer. He played, he did a lot of jazz stuff. He played in Sting's band. So I would love to see him, too.
Nickelback.
No, Supergrass and Hawkins' Chevy Metal bandmates Chris Chaney, Leah, and comedian Dave Chappelle.
That sounds like, man, that's a killer bill.
Now, it says here the L.A. Forum concert will feature essentially the same lineup, with the addition of Gene Simmons, Nikki Sixx, Chad Smith, Miley Cyrus, Alanis Morissette, Luke Spiller, John Theodore, Brad Will, and Pat Wilson. And, of course, they will name other people as things go.
What would you expect to pay for this amazing concert package?
So I think the Los Angeles show is going to be the bigger one.
It seems to be.
You know, especially since he's, you know, American and and that they will have an easier time filling out that lineup. So, but we'll have to wait and see. But tickets go on sale tomorrow for that.
We should probably go to that one.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Just spend the entire week out there.
Yes, Casey.
We probably should.
Because
I'll be flying home from L.A. that Saturday.
Or will you be flying?
Or will I be?
Yeah, because the tentative plans now are for you to leave Monday the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just stay out there.
Maybe we stay out there and hang at Chiquino's or something.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll see about that. Mm-hmm. Ozzy Osbourne says that he is feeling the love and support from fans following his life-altering surgery that involved removing and realigning pins in his neck and back. He wrote on Instagram yesterday, "I am now home from the hospital recuperating comfortably." And he said, "I'm definitely feeling the love and support from all my fans and sending everyone a big thank you for their thoughts, prayers, and well wishes during my recovery."
So this pivotal procedure basically would have, had it not gone well, it would have rendered him wheelchair bound, basically. That's my understanding. And because it went well, he can now move and talk.
Here you go, buddy.
What happened?
What's going on? Oh, God. I'm so grossed out.
I coughed and a loogie came flying out.
Here's some bleach.
You guys never would have known if Casey didn't start cracking up.
No, but I saw your face.
I saw it. I saw it with my own two eyes.
And I think probably the video was on Steve because he was talking, so you didn't. I don't think our viewers at home happened to catch that. So
anyway, I got
it's like when Steve got caught peeing his pants. Same thing happened to me just now.
It's embarrassing.
I know. All right.
Mrs. Cross locked the bathroom door.
Smash Mouth is back.
There are benefits to working with all men, but there are some times when I'm like, God, I wish there were women in this room.
Yes, a little bit more finesse, finishing qualities.
What are the benefits to working with men?
There's a lot of D.
No, there's a lot less drama and cattiness.
Ah, I like that.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Except with Casey. He's like a girl.
I am.
Okay. All right. There's all sorts of things going on across the. You can't even see the
console. Okay. There's two shows happening.
There's some
right
stuff
now.
Going on over here.
They both brought in their thimble collections, and they're looking
now,
at them.
I almost threw something away that I needed to have in case he was.
It's your passport.
Mildly chastising me, and he caught it.
I did not chastise you. I just caught it.
All right, anyway.
I'm catching everything. I caught the booger coming out of your face.
Wasn't a booger. It was a loogie. Came out of my throat. That's less embarrassing than a booger, don't you think?
No.
It's just all gross.
It is pretty.
That's my kryptonite.
They are tied, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. No, see, I find booger more more embarrassing.
Yeah.
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 All right.
Yeah.
Where did we left off?
Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth. Yeah.
Listen to this. I did not know this. They're back with a new vocalist, new single, and a new video, now fronted by a guy named Zach Good. They released a cover of Rick Astley's 1987 hit, Never Gonna Give You Up. Good, an actor and songwriter, just joined in time for the band's largest ever gigs. Last month, they played 50,000 people in Guadalajara, Mexico.
Did they know Smash Mouth was going to be there?
What I didn't know was Steve Harwell, the former vocalist, retired last year because he was having some serious health problems in 2013. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
I did not know this. He had cardiomyopathy, heart failure, and Wernicke encephalopathy, I'm not sure what that is.
I didn't hear that last one. I knew he had heart issues. There, in the piece that I saw about it, it was suggested, and this is just what they were suggesting, that could have been as a result of drinking and drugs.
Okay.
I'm not validating that or saying that's the case.
Smash Mouth kicks off a summer tour on July 3rd in Ohio. And finally, the long wait is over, the twice-delayed stadium tour. Featuring Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, Joan Jett, and the Blackhearts, finally launches tonight in Atlanta. And the 36-date trek will play through the summer. They will be here on the 25th.
That's a cool bill.
Motley Crue said in a joint statement, "It's on. We don't think we've ever looked forward more to kicking off a tour than this one. We can't wait to finally see all the fans cross North America again. Get ready for a wild ride this summer." Joe Elliott from Def Leppard said, on behalf of the band, "We're beyond thrilled that the stadium tour is finally happening this summer, and it's been a while coming, and we can't wait to get back on stage again, and we can't wait to see you in one of the many stadiums soon." Brett Michaels of Poison said, "There are not enough words to thank three generations of fans for making this such an exciting, record-breaking, historical tour with the fastest sellouts in history at these stadiums." And then Joan Jett said, "We are so excited to get back on the road again. We miss doing what we love most and can't wait to see the fans out there again." I believe we're going to have Brett on next week.
Yeah, it was supposed to be tomorrow, but they pushed it back to some point next week.
All right, after the whole loogie thing.
Brett Michaels, word got out quickly, and they just canceled the interview.
Wanted to sanitize the entire studio.
Brett, so, all right. And then, finally, we had mentioned that MMR is sponsoring the Always Sunny podcast live Sunday, September 18th at the Met. And there is a pre-sale that just started about 30 minutes ago.
Excellent.
While supplies last at Ticketmaster.com, use the password DAZZLE, all right, DAZZLE. So Glenn, Charlie, and Rob will be in town for an in-person taping at the Met of their critically acclaimed podcast, which is an unofficial look back in the past 15 years of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So complete details, WMMR.com. There's also a chance for you to win tickets if you're an MMR VIP on the contest
page.
All right, and that's what I have in music news for you. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. We will return and wrap things up, so stay with us.
Preston and Steve. Their name is their address.
On the web. PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thursday morning, about ready to come to a close for us. We got great word, great news this morning. I know that the promos are still running for the blood drive, but I just found out this morning that all of our appointments have been filled.
Yes.
Amazing, right?
That is fantastic.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised. We're doing it two different locations. I don't know if we're taking more donations or not. There's still some COVID protocols and distancing and so on. But I'm really excited to hear that all those slots have been filled up, except for some special donations. I don't know specifically which ones, but there are things like the double red donation. Yes. That you can look into, and maybe you qualify for those. But you can go to PrestonandSteve.com and get the information and maybe help us out there.
Now, I'd be curious to see as we start to move through if some people have to cancel because they things happen.
Always.
Yeah. So sure. there might mean availability. So keep checking.
Check back.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. And that day, even though they don't do walk-ups through the morning, there will be people that will have low iron and things like that.
Right.
Which means that spots can open up later on. So you may want to even check that day on the website and see if that is a slot that you could fill up. And speaking of that day, Pierre Robert, who is here, is going to be doing his show live from the Oaks location.
Exactly.
So it's awesome, man. Is this the first you're hearing of this?
No.
Okay.
I had the idea a while ago that maybe I could broadcast from out there or from Live Casino. Live Casino setup, it doesn't allow for it in this particular case, so that it could be at either of the locations to be of whatever assistance, questionably, I might bring to the party. And Eric thought it was a great idea. Our incredible promotion director, Eric Simon. Bill thought it was a great idea. And then they figured it out so that I could come up and follow you guys.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. And this will be our first time doing a live show from the Blood Drive. This has usually been on a Saturday.
Right.
As Steve was saying, it's longer. It goes from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Normally it would be like 7 a.m. to like 4 or something like that. So it'd be cool, man.
Yeah, I think there's some great possibilities for that to be a very successful day. And really look forward to it.
Excellent. Real quick, I'd like to thank Cecily Tynan for coming on the show this morning. Clearing up what those percentages mean when they say there's a 50% chance of rain. And then we got into a debate about partly cloudy and mostly sunny.
Right.
Confused everyone.
And then water skiing.
I did not confuse everyone.
You kind of did.
I could try to explain it to you again, but you'll have a hard time.
No, we had it. You had it wrong.
No, I said...
No, don't do it.
I said anything. Partly sunny would also be mostly cloudy.
But it's not.
That sounds right.
Oh,
right.
She said I mean? It
Thank
wasn't.
You. Casey got it. Okay. All right, anyhow, there are subtle differences. Daniel Roebuck.
Yay!
The actor who is playing Grandpa Munster in The Munsters stopped in this morning. He's great. He was telling the stories. He always has no problem sharing stories from back when he was on the movie The Fugitive and River's Edge. And
take a look at his collection. He's been in great stuff.
Yep, and he is now directing, writing and directing movies, and he casts out of the Delaware Valley.
Yes.
And his website, I don't remember off the top of my head. Can you reach into the loogie basket?
Channelofpeace.org.
Channelofpeace.org. And you never know if you're an actor, you might
just the opportunity you're looking for.
Yep.
So, and he definitely has cred.
Yep. Cool. If him to stop by this morning. All right. So letter of the day. You ready, Pierre?
Yes.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now the daily letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
T is in Tommy.
All right. And we have one more to go. We'll get it tomorrow, and we'll give away a dinner for 10.
Tommy want wingy.
And Nebraza Brazilian Steakhouse to celebrate the graduate in your life, and 15 different cuts of meat and fish served right at your table, and a gourmet salad bar. It is the perfect place for your graduation celebration. Private rooms available for parties of 16 or more. Info and reservations at nebraza.com. So we give that away tomorrow. What are you giving away today, Pierre?
Let's see. I'm going to be giving away Motley Crue tickets.
Ooh.
And Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett, Black Hearts, the show that you were just talking about. So we've got that. We've got workforce blocks of Ghost and Godsmack, the Double G, and David Bowie. Ziggy Stardust is 50 today.
Whoa.
And that album, that legendary album, and we have it to play, and a brand new track from it that they have uncovered. And I believe we will have that to play in our block as
heard
well.
Heard about that, have not heard that.
Yeah, okay. I have not either,
right.
But we have it, Pancake tells me, so we'll probably throw that in. And then we'll get also, it's exciting news on that Foo Fighters show.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That, if I had a passport, I could come with you. I'm still in my passport drama. Uh-huh. There's this, I got on the line. There's this number you can call to try to get next weekend. I have an opportunity to go to Toronto for the weekend for a party. And it would be a quick trip, but it's not a long flight. How long was it when we flew there?
Oh, it was like an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not far from here. So and then I said, oh, perfect. And I get everything ready. And then I realized my passport had expired. Can't you help me, Kathy?
I tried to. You didn't listen to me.
Of course I didn't. You always tell me that every night at dinner. You never listen to me. Anyway.
There's a place in Old City you can go to, and you can go into the building, and you can sit and wait.
Yeah, I had a friend who did that.
Yeah.
And was able to do it, but it's one of those things where you go early in the morning.
You don't know.
And you just got to wait, and you might get it soon, or it might take all day.
Yeah.
Yep.
I did it once before, and it was quick.
Really?
I was there for maybe an hour, and I was done out the door. But there are days where it's not like that.
Is it open on the weekends?
That's a good question. I would say probably not because it's a federal office.
Can you play, just play a long song and go?
I can do that. I put on I played in Inagata De Vida the other day, yesterday, in fact. I could do that again. So I called this number, this passport expedited number, and this guy comes on after a 20-minute wait. But I was on the treadmill at the gymnasium, so it was all right. And then I got on the elliptical, and then he finally came on. And he said, you have to make an appointment. And I had to read him my hotel information in Toronto. And then I did that. And then he said, okay, now you need to make an appointment. And I can get the only office of passports for expedited for when you want to leave is in Hawaii. I said, what? He said, you'd have to go to the passport office in Hawaii.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding. And then he said, oh, that just disappeared off my screen. Wait a minute. Arkansas. One opened in Arkansas. I said, how about like the Northeast Corridor somewhere?
Right.
New York, you know,
Boston. Arkansas was kind of a win, though, when it was first Hawaii.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but then it disappeared. He said, call back. I said, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's not.
Seems pretty well run.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Here we go.
All right, I'm just going to run down to the customs house, and I'll be back.
Here, the passport office in the city opens at 8 a.m. I think tomorrow you should get up at 7, and I'm serious, and go at 8.
Yep.
See if you can get it wrapped
park
up
in front of there
tut,
tonight.
Tut, tut, ye of such little faith.
You could get it.
Well, all right, I'm going to work on it.
That's
thank like you.
When you
that's
for
that
work
kind
work
of commitment.
Luck. Yeah,
I'll see right what I can do.
I'll see what I can do.
Could you play that fifth song from the eighth album by Iron Maiden? I'll see what I can
do. You should put that on a shirt. I'll see what I can do.
That's a great idea. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Well, I learned that a long time ago in request line. You can't play every request, so you just say, I'll see what I can do.
I'll see what I can do for you.
Yeah, and I get a lot of them.
You're testing yourself. What can I achieve?
What can I achieve?
Yeah, and you
let's
can't
see.
Achieve everything,
let's
so...
see.
Yeah.
I'll just see if I can achieve a passport. Anyway.
Turns out it was out of my realm.
It was, as so many things are. And having said that, I turn it back to you. So
all right, thank you.
Preston's talking. Got that. Can we...
No. I was actually
Bill.
Enjoying this one. I was actually enjoying this little
are we
channel.
Ever close to getting back on the rails? Because I was just in that closing segment, and then he started the passport stuff.
Well, I'm gonna thank our sponsors. President Steve Show is brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the President Steve Show. Also, Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, and Nitro Circus. They're coming to Trenton Thunder Ballpark.
Wow.
On June 26th, and tickets are on sale now. Tomorrow, wrapping up the week with Bill Clement, who's being inducted into the National Hockey Hall of Fame, which is really cool. And also director Tony Yacenda will be joining us. So we got some things to get to tomorrow, so we'll do it then. That is it. We are done. So rage on and have yourself a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.